personalized service and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Next week's Fox interview of O.J. Simpson has been canceled. His book, If I Did It, is being yanked as well.
Fox has changed its mind and won't put on the air the two-part TV interview with O.J. Simpson, and a publishing company owned by News Corporation, same company that runs Fox, has decided not to publish Simpson's book. That's a little odd because bookstores expect to start selling the book next week.
That's CBS's Dan Revive. When Molly Hawkins heard the school bus go over the overpass in Huntsville, Alabama, smash down and fall over on its top, she knew it couldn't be good.
Bam, 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 but it sounded like when it first hit, it just sounded like a bomb went off, and then a couple of more sounded like bounces.
44 people on that bus, 3 are dead, several more in critical condition, others in hospitals with various injuries. Students on that bus say it started when another driver cut in front, and the bus driver had to swerve to miss him. The judge said 89-year-old George Weller deserved to go to prison for driving into that farmer's market full of people, but he won't because he's old and frail. 10 people died. A dozen more were injured when Weller's car bowled into that market 3 years ago. Gretchen Hogg lost her sister that day.
This is the worst thing I've ever gone through my entire life. Lynn was my mother, my guardian, my sister. There's a huge chunk taken out of my life because she's not here.
The elderly driver will be on probation for 5 years and no more driving. Home sales numbers for the summer are in, down in 38 states. Walter Maloney, the National Association of Realtors, says we've probably seen the worst of the price and sales slide.
We think that we've hit bottom for the U.S. as a whole, and next year about three-quarters of the nation will be in a sluggish expansion, and about a quarter of the markets will still be seeing some contraction.
On Wall Street, the Dow lost 26 points to close at 12,316. The Nasdaq gained nearly 7 points on the day. 5 kidney transplants at once, all made possible because of one donor's gift of life. 12 surgeons, 10 patients, 10 hours on the table.
Here's how it worked. An outside donor gave a kidney to one recipient, whose mother gave to a second recipient, whose wife gave to a third patient, and so on. 10 hours of simultaneous surgeries, 5 people saved. This will be the first holiday in 30 years that Christine Jancy of Bangor, Maine, can truly celebrate.
It's almost like a resurrection, even more than a Thanksgiving.
She met her donor, Honey Rothstein, for the first time here at Johns Hopkins today. They held hands and promised to stay in touch.
That'd be cool.
I would love to.
That'd be cool.
That'd be wonderful.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Baltimore.
It's a made-up picture and worth just enough to maybe put a Missouri man in jail. He offered the picture said to be that of George Dixon, commander of the first combat submarine, the Confederate CSS Hunley, on eBay. Claimed it was verified by Dixon's great-granddaughter. Couple of problems. A, the man was in a Union uniform. B, Dixon never had his picture taken. And C, he also never had any kids. This is CBS News.
Because financial solutions have no borders or boundaries, because one market affects another market, UBS operates in only 2 locations, everywhere and right next to you. Powerful global resources leveraged every day to the most important issues. Yours. UBS. Leader in wealth management, global asset management, and investment banking. And committed to a relationship we call you and us. Member SIPC.
Stocking hat?
Check.
Ice scraper?
Check.
Goodyear tires with triple tread technology?
Huh?
Are you prepared for winter driving? If not, get any weather traction from Goodyear tires with triple tread technology. Now on sale. Plus, get up to a $40 mail-in cash card when you buy 4 select Goodyear tires, including triple treads. Or double it to $80 when you use a Goodyear credit card. Be prepared this winter and save big on all Goodyear tires with triple tread technology. These offers end December 2nd, 2006. Offer subject to credit approval. See your participating Goodyear retailer for complete details.
Mothers Against Drunk Driving want technology, as is being used in New Mexico, to become national.
Matt is saying that
All states should adopt this. It should be uniform that first-time offenders be required to install these breathalyzer locks on their car. On top of that, MAD and federal officials are asking for stepped-up enforcement, particularly over the holidays, additional sobriety checkpoints, just a rededicated effort to trying to lower this fatality number, which has been stuck at 13,000 a year for about a decade.
That's CBS's Bob Orr in Washington. Canadian Football League champions get the Grey Cup. The BC Lions are this year's champs. Guard Kelly Bates took the venerable cup in hand, raised it above his head, and shook it. And the cup broke. Bates in one hand, the cup in the other. So the players passed around both pieces. It'll be repaired. That cup has been around since 1909. Started out as a trophy for the rugby champions. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The holidays are here, and Guitar Center is your one-stop destination for every musician on your gift list. Save 50, 60, 75% off and more in every department. Guitars, drums, keyboards, recording, live sound, and DJ gear. All at the guaranteed lowest price in the nation. And take advantage of special no-payment, no-interest financing for a full year on purchases of $299 or more. Plus, Guitar Center gift cards make the perfect stocking stuffer. Guitar Center's Give Gear, Make Music Savings event is going on now. Don't miss it.
I'm cruising in my ride, 16 switches. Gotta get my floss on, watch it.
Radio may never be clean, but with Hoover, your floors can be. Hoover Floormate cleans all your hard floors. Hoover Wind Tunnel 2 Upright vacuums your carpets. Buy them together and get up to a $100 mail-in rebate. So use Hoover and keep it clean. Offer varies. See Hoover.com and participating dealers for details. Expires 1-7-07.
Collins. Oh, that's him. That's me. Here I am. What do you say we talk about things going on in our world? That's my job, and I love my job. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Collins. We've got 3 hours to talk about current issues and some great people to talk with about them. And that's the way I like it. The Peter B. Collins Show is live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, originating on the left coast. Coming up about a half an hour, Ray McGovern, a former CIA analyst, the guy who challenged Donald Rumsfeld at that event in Atlanta about 6 months ago. We're going to get his take on Rummy's exit. The entrance or reemergence of Robert Gates, who worked at the CIA when Ray McGovern was there. And we'll talk about Ray's recent published article imploring Carl Levin, the senator from Michigan, to be tough in the confirmation hearings on Robert Gates. Next hour, we're going to visit with the Reverend Robin Myers. He is the pastor of the Mayflower UCC Church in Oklahoma City. He's the author of a powerful book published earlier this year called Why the Christian Right is Wrong. We're going to talk about the morality of torture, the morality of Ted Haggard, and lots of other issues, too, with Robin Myers. He's a fascinating guy, and I'm looking forward to talking with him. That's about an hour from now. And at any time, you can join this conversation toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 is our toll-free number. And you can also email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. And I appreciate your input, whether it's a critical comment or a news item that you think I may have missed. And that's how I find out about a lot of things. It's Peter at peterbcollins.com, and I'd love to hear from you. Every week we kick off Monday's show with somebody from Media Matters for America. They're on the web at mediamatters.org. And Jameson Foser joins us today. Hello, Jamo.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm okay. We're gearing up for the holiday break. Looking forward to just a three-day work week here. And is the corporate media going to take some time off and give us some turkey feature stories and kind of soft-pedal the political news for a while, you think?
Well, I noticed all this morning CNN was pretty much full-time covering a new Beatles CD that's being released just in time for Christmas. And, you know, there's the part of me that hopes for their sake that at least CNN gets paid for this. if they're going to turn their channel over to the Home Shopping Network, I hope they're being compensated for it.
Yeah.
And then there's a part of me that thinks that, of course, would be wrong.
Well, I got word about an hour ago that Fox has had a change of heart and decided that the poor taste and the bad PR that would have resulted from the O.J. Simpson two-night special and the publication of his book via HarperCollins was just too much to take. Now, I am surprised at that. Has Sinclair picked up the rights to the TV special?
I don't know about that. I do remember that when Vice President Cheney shot a man in the face,
yes.
Fox News talked about it a lot, but they kept downplaying it and suggested that it was no big deal and people should just go about their business. So maybe this is progress. I guess Fox is finally taking a hard line against sort of violent behavior.
Well, I'm waiting for Judith Regan, who was the editor on O.J.'s book. I guess we will never get to see it, which seems like a big relief. But maybe she'll write a hypothetical tell-all book. You know, police chiefs of New York who I may have slept with.
Wow. That's all I have to say about that.
And I will leave it at that as well. JMO, let's talk next about the situation on television last week, because a couple of people surfaced as potential candidates for President of the United States, namely Rudy Giuliani and John McCain, opened a bank account and said they're forming exploratory committees. And this was seized upon by the media as, big, big newsworthy events. Chris Matthews went off two nights in a row. About Rudy Giuliani. He's clearly in love with that guy, or at least politically in love with him. And we also see that John McCain is getting the rosy treatment.
Yeah, of course, Matthew's comments about McCain over the years have been similarly gushing. He's going to have a tough choice ahead of him if he has to decide which of those two candidates he's going to support, at least unofficially, because those are certainly people that he has raved about a great deal over the years.
Mm-hmm.
He said last week he compared McCain to Martin Luther, talking about him going back and reforming and finding the pure conservative movement. He talks about how likable this guy is. It gets to be pretty over the top from time to time to hear him gush about both McCain and Giuliani, frankly.
I agree. And, I can't remember exactly, but I wanted to watch Chris Matthews for coverage, I think, of the Steny Hoyer-John Murtha competition. And that was just squeezed out to make room for this love fest, first over Giuliani and then McCain.
Yeah, and it's worth keeping in mind that it isn't just Chris Matthews. The major political media overall has, particularly for McCain, really been smitten for quite some time, and they simply don't cover him in a thoughtful or critiquing kind of way. They just gush about how manly this guy is and what a straight shooter he is and all of that. And it's been going on for years, and, he's apparently going to run for president. And that's going to be a heck of an advantage if the media continues to treat him the way they have. I don't know that there's ever been a major political figure who's gotten as uniformly positive press as John McCain has.
It is amazing, and so much of it departs from the truth. For example, the Maverick part, I think, is accurate, but he's often described as a moderate Republican. And I can't find any basis for that, JMO.
Yeah, that's really extraordinary. He actually has taken over the years many different positions on abortion, but his latest position, his current position on abortion, actually puts him further to the right than the people of South Dakota, which is one of the most conservative states in the country. He supported South Dakota's blanket ban on all abortions. The people of South Dakota, a couple weeks ago, when they had a chance to vote on it, rejected it, and rejected it pretty comfortably. So this is a guy who is to the right of the voting population of one of the most conservative states in the country on abortion, which isn't the be-all and end-all, but certainly is sort of the classic litmus test of somebody's place on the political spectrum, and yet he gets described as a moderate. It's really pretty inexplicable. But part of the reason for that is that the media simply doesn't delve into the specifics of his policy positions. We saw a segment last week where Wolf Blitzer talked about McCain's prospective candidacy. And first of all, it was telling how much time CNN spent on McCain. At about the same time, you had John McCain suggesting he was going to run for president, and Tom Vilsack, who's the Democratic former governor of Iowa, mm-hmm. saying he wanted to run for president. Vilsack got a passing mention, and McCain got several minutes. But they didn't use that extra time on McCain to really give viewers a good detailed sense of what McCain's positions are or whether he's been consistent. So that extra time didn't translate to better coverage. It was just more. But one of the things that they ignored was the fact that like I said, McCain has flip-flopped on abortion a great deal over the years. He has previously said that he didn't think Roe v. Wade should be repealed. Now he says that he thinks it should be. He supports a constitutional amendment banning abortion and has voted in the Senate for various abortion restrictions. But just this weekend, he was on ABC, on ABC with George Stephanopoulos on Sunday, explaining his position on abortion as saying he thinks it should be up to the states. Well, he clearly doesn't think it should be up to the states, or he wouldn't have, as a senator, voted on federal abortion legislation.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been extremely inconsistent. His current position puts him far to the right and out of the mainstream of the American public on abortion, and yet Blitzer doesn't mention any of that.
And let's listen to a clip here. This is from the Situation Room, November 16.
Everyone fully expects that come January to make the official announcement. And by the way, they kind of get two hits from us. They file for an exploratory committee, and we give it lots of attention. And then in January, when a lot of these candidates are going to announce officially, we go back at it again. So it's a good mechanism for fundraising and also for a little name recognition.
Candy, thanks for that. Candy Crowley and Dana Bash, as you know, they are part of the best political team on television. So where does McCain stand on the issues that matter to you? He supports President Bush's plan for Iraq, but he's called for more U.S. troops to be sent there to help suppress the insurgency. On immigration, McCain supports the president's plan that calls for border security and a guest worker program for illegal immigrants. The senator opposes abortion rights except in the case of rape, incest, or to protect the life of the mother. McCain believes marriage should be defined.
Now, that last part there, was that correct? If he supports the South Dakota ban, that's less liberal than what was just described by Wolf Blitzer.
Well, it's what Blitzer said was consistent with some of the things that McCain has said about abortion, but he really has been all over the map on this. Even on the South Dakota thing, he indicated that he would have signed the law, but then he would have tried to change it after the fact to allow exceptions for the life or health of the mother, which is a nice way of saying nothing. The whole point of the law was that it banned all abortions. That was the whole premise behind the law. That's why it was proposed. It was a unique first-in-the-country kind of deal. So for him to say that he both supports it and would change it is inherently contradictory. This wasn't anything other than a law that was meant to ban everything.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of wanted to have both sides of that issue, and that's the kind of thing that if another politician did it, certainly perhaps John Kerry, we know how CNN would treat that. They'd mock him for trying to take all sides of the issue and being for the ban before he was against it and all of this. But McCain is just a straight shooter, according to these guys.
Mm-hmm. We'll listen to a little more here.
Between a man and a woman, but he opposes a constitutional amendment to ban same-sex marriage. He also believes that individual states should make those decisions, but says he would support a federal marriage amendment if the courts interfered and overturned a state's decision. On Social Security, the senator supports the president's call for privatization using individual savings accounts. McCain also supports the president's call for the extension of tax cuts. McCain's not the only person to take the first step toward a president.
So, JMO, that's pretty interesting because there was no critical reporting there of the record of John McCain. It was all just a kind of happy talk recap of his positions from his spin.
Exactly. And if you sort of try to fight through that wording there, I have no idea what McCain's position on gay marriage is. According to Wolf Blitzer, and by the way, I think he's reporting this accurately, he just wasn't delving into the inherent inconsistencies. McCain is against gay marriage, but doesn't think the federal government should be involved. It should be a state issue, but he would support a federal law if he didn't like the way courts decided it. I have no idea what that means, frankly.
Yeah.
And Blitzer didn't sort of delve into that. And that was what he did issue after issue. He sort of told us McCain's funny spin on things, but didn't get into whether or not it makes sense. Or whether it's even possible in the case of his plan for Iraq, which we heard Blitzer describe a little bit ago. McCain says that we need to, over the next several months, basically win this thing or we can't win it, I think is the way he puts it. He simultaneously says he wants to send 20,000 more troops. Well, adding 20,000 more troops in Iraq requires adding 100,000 more people to the Army and the Marines. You pretty much can't do that within the several-month time frame that he's setting. But nobody delved into that. Blitzer didn't explore whether or not that was even plausible.
Mm-hmm. McCain is really the only one advocating sending in large numbers of additional troops to Iraq right now.
Right. I think there have been some other people who have suggested that more troops would be necessary. The McCain's certainly the only one who's advocated simultaneously sending in these large numbers and getting it done this quickly in a way that frankly just isn't possible.
Yeah.
And some news organizations have looked at that in depth and have said, you know, that pretty much every military expert involved says you just can't do that.
Including General Abizaid directly to John McCain last week.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. But Wolf Blitzer doesn't tell viewers that. He just says, oh, McCain wants to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of extraordinary, but it's actually not even as bad as what Blitzer's colleague at CNN, Bill Schneider, said, where Schneider noted that the midterm elections were largely about Iraq and that people were very dismayed about Iraq. And the fact that there was so much focus on Iraq was good news for John McCain. Despite the fact that McCain wants to send more troops, which is wildly unpopular, like 17% of the American people support that,
mm-hmm.
not to mention impossible. And yet somehow Bill Schneider gets that the American people's widespread rejection of John McCain's position on Iraq is good news for John McCain.
Yeah.
That's the rules that this guy plays under. And if things don't change with the way the media covers him, mm-hmm. It's going to be the single most rigged presidential election we've ever encountered from a sort of mass media standpoint.
Interesting point. Jameson, I just wanted to mention one other thing to get it on the radar at Media Matters for America. I learned yesterday that NBC, which owns the Telemundo Spanish language network in this country, has announced that they are gutting the news department of their station in the San Francisco Bay Area, and they're going to replace local news with regional news produced in Dallas. And this is a real insult to Spanish-speaking Americans who thought that when NBC bought Telemundo, it would be a professional operation that would bring the journalism on the Spanish channel up to at least the level of the journalism on the English NBC channels. And it appears that they're going in a completely different direction. So I just wanted to get it on your radar. And we're going to talk with one of the lead anchors from Bay Area Telemundo, Selena Rodriguez, tomorrow. And we'll get more information on that.
Great. Well, we'll keep an eye on that.
Okay. Please do. Have a great Thanksgiving, J-Mo, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Take care, Peter.
Jameson Foser at Media Matters for America. They're on the web, mediamatters.org. A quick break and we return here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and
and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery Deli and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
The holiday season is here again, and what perfect time to take advantage of the great selection and low prices of the finest used cars in the county. At ZNS Auto Dealership in Monterey, they have been partners for over 30 years. Located at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard, ZNS wants to be your partner in choosing that right car for you or your loved one. ZNS has it, whether it's a truck, SUV, minivan, compact, or luxury automobile. Open every day on Del Monte Boulevard, Monterey. ZNS Auto, where partnership works.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Concern about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and it always works better when I actually turn the microphone on. 26 minutes past the hour. Coming up just after the next break, Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst and a founder of VIPS, Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. He'll be joining us on the program. He's the guy who confronted Donald Rumsfeld and said, hey, where were those WMD? And Rummy said, oh, I never said there were any. And then he quoted him back, north, south, east of Tikrit. we're going to talk about that and about the potential new Defense Secretary Robert Gates. Dr. Henry Kissinger, like so many neocons or neocon supporters, has gone public now, saying that a military victory in Iraq is no longer possible. If you mean by military victory an Iraqi government that can be established and whose writ runs across the whole country, that gets the civil war under control and sectarian violence under control in a time period that the political processes of the democracies will support, I don't believe that is possible. This is the guy who kept us in Vietnam with the feints that peace is at hand. And he's been described as a key advisor to this president about Iraq. Now, he said it's not winnable, but we can't just pull out. A dramatic collapse of Iraq, whatever we think about the how the situation was created, would have disastrous consequences for which we would pay for many years, and which would bring us back one way or another into the region. And the military, the Pentagon Review, has produced a very pithy description of the alternatives in Iraq. Go big, go long, or go home. Go big, meaning put more American forces on the ground in Iraq. Go long, meaning stay there for bloody ever. Or go home. That's what they're discussing at the Pentagon. We'll continue in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. PeterBCollins.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
You got cooking. How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm still your humble host, Peter B. Joining us this half hour is a man who spent 27 years serving our nation as an analyst at the Central Intelligence Agency. And some of that time overlapped with Robert Gates, who is President Bush's nominee to succeed Donald Rumsfeld at the Defense Department. Ray McGovern also is the founder of VIPS, Veteran Intelligence Professionals for Sanity. Ray, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter B. Good to be with you.
Well, it's great to be with you. And just about 10 days ago, we dug out the clip from Atlanta from earlier this year. It was May or June, where you were invited to a speech given by Donald Rumsfeld. And you had a ticket. They invited you to come in. There was a Q&A process, and you participated. And when you asked a couple of tough questions of Rumsfeld, you got hissed by the crowd. Rummy himself told them to hold off and tried to let you complete your remarks. And then the media played you as a heckler, as if you had broken through Donald Rumsfeld's security phalanx there and, you know, jammed yourself upon him. But that really became a turning point, Ray, because you confronted him and got him on the record with his lies about WMD in Iraq.
Well, it was quite an event. I was glad that I had that opportunity. It wasn't all bad because CNN, to its credit, did do some fact-checking, and I found myself on virtually all of their talk shows that evening. And what's his name? Keith Olbermann.
Yeah.
Did a really good job on it. He played the whole 4 minutes, and then he did some fact-checking of his own. And I was quite amazed to find out how many Americans watch television, because I have been approached in the most unlikely places and recognized, and most people were very supportive.
I'll bet, yeah. So it's not like I'm trying to make it seem like you single-handedly brought Rumsfeld down, but you were part of a larger chorus of voices that really built volume this year. Finally, right before our midterm elections, the military publications all came out with the same editorial that it's time for Rummy to go.
Yeah.
At what point do you think Bush actually started listening to this chorus of Dump Rummy?
On the evening of 7 November,
yeah,
when the returns came in. You know, it seems to me very clear that that he didn't have any intention of dumping him 1 week before, on the 1st of November, when he told journalists that Rummy was doing a, quote, fantastic job, end quote, and that he was good for the next 2 years, just like the vice president was.
Well, wasn't that statement covered by a signing statement, and weren't his fingers crossed?
He did have his fingers crossed behind his back.
I mean, when the press asked him about it a week later, he basically just rationalized the lie.
Yeah.
He didn't say that he changed his mind.
Well, the lie, as I reconstruct, came when he said that he had lied. You see, what happened, I think, is that Rumsfeld went to him and said, look, you may believe Rove in saying that the polls are much better than everybody says, but I think there's a good chance we'll lose the House, at least. And, you know, I don't really think it would be good for either me or you to be called to testify before the various committees there.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we've got a lot of explaining to do, so you know, please don't be rigid about this. And you might want to see if there's somebody waiting in the wings just in case I do have to go.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we know that the president did not meet with Robert Gates until the weekend before the election,
right?
And didn't even know him before then. And so everything was done very hurriedly. Gates said yes on the spot, and so they were all set for the returns when they did come in, and then the president changed his tune on Rumsfeld. So
mm-hmm.
It was all very interesting, and, you know, it's sort of a mark of how the president can believe Rove and disbelieve all the polling.
Mm-hmm. And Ray, let me frame this, and I'll acknowledge that what I'm about to say is a bit arbitrary, but just for the purpose of this conversation, let's look at the month of October 2006. 106 American service members were killed in Iraq, and thousands of Iraqis lost their lives. The Iraqi carnage has increased even greater during November. But just looking at the month of October, and considering that that was the last full month before the midterm elections, we have a series of people who pulled their punches, who held their tongues, who did not reveal the truth to the American people about their intentions, and 106 Americans died during that time period. Bush didn't tell us that he was even considering firing Rumsfeld, and as you pointed out, a week before the election, made it sound like they would have to go down in the same plane together before Rummy would leave this administration.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have Henry Kissinger, who gave an interview that was broadcast in England over the weekend. He has been described as a very close advisor of the Bush administration on its Iraq policies, and now he says that a military victory is not possible. Again, his silence during the month of October cost at least 106 American lives. How do we deal with this cynical politics-first approach to policies that cost Americans their lives?
Well, I think, Peter B., what we do is we keep the heat on. The change in the coloration of the House and the Senate is due mostly, I'm convinced, to the grassroots folks that got out and really, really militated for change. And now, unfortunately, it's going to be a similar task to get the change implemented now that so many Democrats have been elected, and to just face them down and say, look, you know, we need to put an end to this war. We need to do it before 106 more people are killed on the U.S. side. We're not even counting Iraqi civilians in all of this. And so it's just got to end. And I think there is going to be enough cover for the president in the form of all these commissions now, including the Baker-Hamilton Commission. They'll come up with a bunch of alternatives. They'll compare notes with the White House. The White House will pick out the one they consider to be the least worst, because that's what you've got. You've got no good alternatives. And then it'll become sort of a blame or credit sharing with a bipartisan commission, so the Democrats can be sort of be guilty by association.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the handwriting's on the wall. What really disturbs me, Peter B., is people like John McCain. Now, those are the people that have the potential of prolonging this war and preventing our troops from coming home. What he said over the weekend, appealing for more troops, substantial increase in troops, it can only be explained by two things. One is that he really doesn't get it. He doesn't have any appreciation of what a guerrilla war is or what it requires. Or number two, he's being very, very loose with the lives of American servicemen and women, because what he said could retard the administration from pursuing sensible alternatives.
But isn't McCain's position here simply PR? General Abizaid told him point blank that if we wanted to add 20,000 troops, we don't know where we'd find them.
That's exactly right. It's worse than PR. It's positioning for the next election. See, McCain wants to be in a position of saying, you know, I had a plan. If they only listened to me, we wouldn't have this debacle in Iraq, because by the time they start running for president in another year, there will be a debacle in Iraq. There's no escaping it. And McCain wants to be in a position of saying, you know, I didn't have anything to do with that. I appeal for more troops, even though he knows that 100,000 more troops are not going to make any difference. And Abizaid, as you said, told him precisely that. So that's what is the height of cynicism in terms of what I'm thinking.
Mm-hmm.
If McCain's going to try to make political hay out of this, and the president's going to have to protect his own flanks and the flanks of other Republicans, then that can only delay the inevitable, and that will be delaying and causing more death, not only to American troops, but to Iraqis as well.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Ray McGovern here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And a moment ago, Ray, you mentioned the Baker-Hamilton Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And you wrote a piece that I just read today that was published about a week ago at truthout.org, and people can find it there, in which you talk about this commission and say that we need a nonpartisan commission, not simply a bipartisan commission. And as I look at it, I really don't have great expectations of the Baker-Hamilton Iraq Study Group. It does appear simply designed to provide political cover for Bush to make policy changes while looking like he never has to acknowledge the mistakes that are so extremely obvious to all of us.
Yeah, I think you've got that right, Peter B., but even if it's only that, you know, if Bush needs some sort of cover or some sort of fig leaf to disguise the debacle. And, you know, I'm all for it. You know, let Baker and Hamilton confer with him, propose the least worst alternative, and let Bush adopt it and get our folks out of there. Now, it's going to take a while, and people like McCain are not helping. But, you know, if he can use this commission that way, he can be my guest. What he needs is political cover. They can give it to him, and he can pretend that, you know, this was sort of urged on him by these wise men, and that he's acquiescing in it and you know, get out that way.
Mm-hmm. But let's just take one angle here, Ray. We saw a reporting surface over the weekend that James Baker and other members of the Iraq Study Group have been meeting with representatives of the governments of Iran and Syria. And the idea of opening talks with these two nations is something that I support. I think it's much better to talk with them than to simply, you know, issue threats through the media.
Sure it is.
But aren't they going to come up against Bush, who has, you know, very strong, stubborn feelings about this, and his ego is on the line, particularly in the struggle with Ahmadinejad in Tehran?
Yeah, the suggestion to talk to both these countries, of course, makes eminent good sense. Whether Bush will buy into that or not is problematical. A lot of it depends, Peter B., as I see it, on the position of Cheney right now. It used to be the Cheney-Rumsfeld cabal. I don't know if he can have a cabal with just one person left.
A cabal of one.
But if you can have a cabal with one person, Cheney is the guy that could do it. Yeah. Anyhow, whether he suffered a lessening of his influence or not remains to be seen, because I suspect that he has, and I suspect that Bobby Gates can insinuate himself into a position where he can sort of garner some of that extra influence. And he's more sensible than Rumsfeld. He's got the supreme deficiencies that should disqualify him from the job, but at least he's not Rumsfeld, and you know, he'll be able to ease the president to politically smart ways of combating Cheney, if indeed, and it's a big if mm-hmm. indeed, the president can see that Cheney is not serving him well.
Yeah. I mean, one of the conflicts here is that trying to open dialogue with Tehran flies in the face of the freeze-them-out approach that they've attempted to use around Iran's nuclear intentions. And so as I see those two policies in conflict, it's hard to imagine Bush resolving them in favor of dialogue and a reduction in confrontation.
Yeah. See, the president has no winning cards with respect to Iran and Iraq. In other words, Iranians aren't going to help with Iraq. I don't think they're doing as much as the administration charges them doing, you know, making ports for IEDs and stuff like that. But they're not going to be able to help. So the beginning of talks, although it makes great sense in terms of bilateral problems between the U.S. and Iran, it's not going to help a great deal with respect to Iraq unless the U.S. is willing to give something. And the U.S. is not, at least this administration, has shown no inclination to make any compromises. So that's kind of a one-way street.
We're going to take a break. Return with Ray McGovern. If you have a question or comment, you can join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372 puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats, savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza.
behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
At Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Man, I really believe that pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make that an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I want the thing in their face that you help this happen.
I totally concur. And the problem is we have adopted that agenda at the highest levels of our government. And so
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people. I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
I mean, tell people why I say this. I mean, raise a little hell, raise a little hell, raise a
little hell. Hi, this is Doug Basham reminding you to join me weeknights at 7 here on KRXA. That's Basham Radio weeknights, 7 to 10 p.m. right here on AM 540 KRXA.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. The Pentagon Review says we got three options in Iraq: inject more troops, shrink the force but stay longer, or pull out. And the Post in Washington shortened it to go big, go long, or go home. Here's Michael Franti. He says it's time to go home.
We live and die them, but I know they're never gonna tell you why. No, they only wanna tell you lies. No, never ever gonna tell you why. No, they only wanna tell you lies. No, never ever gonna tell you why. No, they only wanna tell you lies. It's time.
We continue with Ray McGovern. He spent 27 years as an analyst at the Central Intelligence Agency. In a moment, we'll ask him about his experiences with Robert Gates and whether he thinks he'd make a good Secretary of Defense. Dave joins us from Eureka. Hello, Dave. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter. Ray.
Hi, Dave.
I've shared this with you before, but I really think it's important to connect the dots and realize that this problem goes back to the earliest days of PNAC. That this isn't just bungling incompetence and who would be a better Secretary of State. This is people who are criminals, who have stolen our government, who have invaded and are occupying Middle East countries because it is to them extremely profitable. They are using this as a means to shift not only the entire U.S. Treasury into their pockets, they are also borrowing from the rest of the world and sharing it with their own little greedy Carlyle group. And, Peter, you did hear Clint Curtis is not giving in.
I have heard that, yeah.
Yeah, bless his
mm-hmm.
heart.
Yeah. Ray, what's your reaction to Dave's remarks?
Well, Dave, you're quite right. No conversation on this subject should avoid mentioning the Project for the New American Century. Its documents are available on the web, PNAC. These are the sort of strategic and visionary documents that explain exactly what the so-called neoconservatives set out to do. And Iraq was first in line, Syria and Iran close behind. It was a completely feckless kind of exercise in terms of knowledge of strategy and guerrilla war and what the Middle East was all about. But it did form the backdrop for people like Ken Edelman, people like Pearl and Wolfowitz, the people who were really the brainchild behind the war. And so that's what Rumsfeld sort of bought into, Cheney as well. And for people to understand this, one has to realize that these folks who really authored the war, many of them have real difficulty distinguishing between what they believe to be the strategic interests of Israel on the one hand and the strategic interests of the United States of America on the other. That is a very, very dangerous situation. It still obtains, and it's precisely the kind of dilemma that George Washington, our first president, warned about in his farewell address.
Dave, thank you for a great question today. I appreciate that. Now, Ray, the very day that the president nominated Robert Gates to replace Donald Rumsfeld, a guy who served at the CIA about the same time frame as you, Mel Goodman, was on our program, and he excoriated the nomination. He said Gates is a micromanager. Gates is a man who has been found to have politicized intelligence, first around the Soviet Union, then around Iran-Contra. And these issues did come up during his confirmation for CIA director in 1991. And you wrote a powerful letter to Carl Levin that is available at truthout.org. He is now going to, he will be chairing the Senate Intelligence Committee. And I'm curious, Armed Services. What is your message to Carl Levin, and why do you believe that the Gates nomination should be held up, if not blocked entirely?
Well, Peter B., ironically, Mel Goodman, Bobby Gates, and I all worked together in the early 70s. I was a branch chief, and they were both in my branch. There were other leading lights there, and it was a very heady time because the Soviet Union was on the march. We know Bobby Gates quite well. He is, how shall I say, he's not very honest. As a matter of fact, Lawrence Walsh, the head of the Iran-Contra inquiry, indicated that he really couldn't believe how it could be that this man, Gates, who was touted to have a wonderful memory, that his memory failed him, and he couldn't remember 33 times he couldn't remember key events in that imbroglio. So he's not going to be relied upon to tell the truth. I think the most relevant aspect of Gates is that if there's one person in our government who's most responsible for the politicization of intelligence, for the fact that when George Tenet told folks to write a phony estimate, they all saluted and said yes, those were the folks that Bobby Gates promoted, because he learned under Bill Casey that what you do is you salute the policymaker and you give the policymaker what you think the policymaker wants to hear. That's the cardinal sin in intelligence analysis. That's precisely what Gates did. Mel Goodman at the time was working on the Soviet Union, as many of my good friends were. I too, was a Soviet analyst to begin with. And they could see that the Soviet Union is falling apart, that it was disengaging from Africa and other places, and Gates wouldn't let that word out. So
there was that annual dog and pony show. This was pre-PowerPoint, but you know, they used to trot out all these slides and statistics about the threat posed by the Soviet Union. And by the mid-1980s, the Soviet Union was imploding, but those annual reviews just kept describing it as an imminent and growing threat.
That's right. Now, Gates, you know, on two scores, he did learn something in our branch, so he knew better. He also has a Ph.D. in Soviet history, so he should know better. So it's not only that he was catering to those above him, he knew better. And as a result of his suppression of the good analysts and his advancement of the phony ones, the CIA missed the fall of the Soviet Union, the biggest world event in the latter part of the last century, which is really quite an indictment.
Yeah. Ray, just 30 seconds remaining. Do you think that the newly empowered, emboldened Senate Democrats will work over Mr. Gates, or are they just going to get out of the way and let the president have his pick?
I'll only say that Mel Goodman and I and others who know what can be expected of Gates are doing our level best to make sure that Carl Levin and others if the nomination goes through as suggested for the 5th of December, that they will ask the appropriate questions. Now, that's all we can do. I hope the fix isn't already in. Some suggest it is.
Ray McGovern, thanks for joining us. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Peter B.
Read his work at truthout.org. I'm Peter B. Collins. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The plug is pulled on O.J. Simpson's book and TV special.
Frankly, it's about time.
A horrible school bus crash in Alabama.
Bam, 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 but it sounded like a, when it first hit, it just sounded like a bomb went off.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. It was so outrageous it sounded like a hoax, but a controversial O.J. Simpson book and a Fox TV special to promote it have been canceled. CBS News correspondent Sandra Hughes reports.
Crushed under relentless criticism for its plans to air O.J. Simpson's confession, Today News Corporation caved, saying it would cancel the deal for a two-part TV special and a book called If I Did It. In the book, Simpson was to describe how he would have committed the murders of his ex-wife and her friend Ron Goldman.
Goldman's father, Fred, contacted for reaction to the reversal, told CBS News it's about time. Goldman's sister says it's too late to stop O.J. Simpson from cashing in. She says he's already been paid $3.5 million. That was Michael Richards' racist rant at a West Hollywood comedy club Friday night. The man who played the quirky character Kramer on Seinfeld lost it when he was heckled by a black man. Richards unleashed a barrage of insults, including the N-word. Audience members, black and white, were stunned. Many walked out. Tonight, Richards appears on The Late Show with David Letterman to apologize.
For me to be in a comedy club and flip out and say this crap, you know, I'm deeply, deeply sorry. I'm not a racist. That's what's so insane about this.
Comedian Paul Rodriguez was at the Laugh Factory when it happened.
The audience came here expecting to see Kramer, and they got Mark Furman.
That's right.
Yeah. We are saddened by this.
He says Richards will no longer be accepted at the club. Now this.
This is a dangerous place. Inside a calculator at tax time, a business owner has this thing smoking. How? He's got a Discover business card, so he downloads statements anytime he wants. Has his purchase records right at his fingertips. A lot faster and easier than a box full of receipts. Hey, ease up there, big guy. You'll sprain your pinky.
It's time to take control with the new Discover business card. Visit discoverbiz.com/control or call 1-888-221-4BIZ to learn more.
The Office Depot pre-Thanksgiving sale. Our prices won't be beat on notebook computers, digital cameras, MP3 players, and HD TVs. We won't be undersold. So shop now through Wednesday and avoid the after Thanksgiving crowds. Office Depot, taking care of business and the holidays.
Taking care of business. Office Depot.
Quantities limited while supplies last.
It was a routine trip for students at Lee High School in Huntsville, Alabama. They were taking a bus to the Center for Technology, where they take advanced courses in math and science. But this morning, the driver had trouble on the road.
Car had came and cut the bus off, and he tried to dodge it. But when he dodged it, he bumped into the other car and turned it back, and then it felt like the bus turned up.
The bus tore through a guardrail, plunged off a highway overpass, and crashed nose first, 30 feet below.
from the sound of it, you would have thought it would have been torn all to pieces when it hit the ground.
Molly Hawkins works nearby.
When it first hit it, just sounded like a bomb went off, and then a couple of more sounded like bounces or whatever. I mean, one of our guys went out, and we heard it, and he hollered, "Holy, I'm not going to tell you what he said, but call 911.
Rescue workers found broken bodies thrown all over the bus. It had no seat belts. Three teenage girls were killed, at least 30 people injured, some critically. More than 3 years ago, a car driven by an 86-year-old man plowed into a farmer's market in Los Angeles, killing 10 people. Today, George Weller was sentenced to probation. He's just shy of 90 now and confined to bed. The judge said it wouldn't make any sense to send him to prison. What do IRS auditors and legendary bank robber Willie Sutton have in common? They go where the money is. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive joins us live with the latest on tax enforcement.
Bill, a focus on the wealthy, a much higher chance of being audited. One out of 16 returns filed by those with incomes of $1 million or more are being examined. If you earn over $100,000, it's one out of 60 being audited. Too scared to cheat? Good, says the head of the IRS, Mark Everson.
It's not just about the money we get directly. It's when we do an audit and that individual talks to his or her neighbor, the neighbor is more compliant, files more honestly.
Out of all returns, it's still one out of 100 audited. Small business and charities also being scrutinized. Reporting live, Dan Revive, CBS News.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
If you've ever struggled with a sick kid while trying to get his temperature, you'll love the new temporal scanner by Exergen. It works like magic. Just press a button, gently scan your child's forehead, and get an accurate reading, just like that. It's safe, quick, effective, and used by doctors and premier hospitals. Imagine no more sticking thermometers in ears or rears. You can even use it while your child is sleeping. The temporal scanner from Exergen, a better thermometer for your family, and the best money you'll ever spend. Available at the pharmacy, at Walmart, Walgreens, and other fine stores.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
Medical history is made at Johns Hopkins University.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 6 minutes past the hour. Wherever you happen to be, and whether you're listening to AM radio or the speakers on the back of your computer, or you download it as a podcast, I'm delighted you found the Peter B. Collins Show, live from the left coast.
God had a name. What would it be? If you were faced with him in all his glory, what would you ask if you had just one question? And yeah, God is great. Yeah, God is good.
Joining us this hour on the Peter B. Collins Show is Dr. Robin Myers. He's a United Church of Christ minister. He is the pastor at the Mayflower Church in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And he's an outspoken activist for peace and justice. He writes for the Christian Century. He's a professor of rhetoric at Oklahoma City University. And earlier this year, he published a powerful book called Why the Christian Right is Wrong, A Minister's Manifesto for Taking Back Your Faith, Your Flag, Your Future. Robin Myers, always a pleasure. Welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thanks for having me back on, Peter. My pleasure.
Things have gotten a little bit better, and of course, not everything's gotten better since we last hooked up in July when you were on the West Coast for your book tour. Let's accentuate the positive for a moment. Were you surprised by the outcome of the midterm elections?
I was surprised by the extent to which the Democrats made gains. I knew they would win the House. I really had no way of knowing they would also take the Senate. I think most people were surprised by that. And I have some feelings about what this really means. I think it's a referendum against what was going on, not necessarily a great trust being placed in the Democrats, but I hope they can rise to the occasion. I think most Americans said the war is a disaster. I think that's the number one thing the election says, and that we need to figure out a way to bring our troops home. And I think the other thing it said was that the choreographing of reality, and you and I have talked about this, really sort of has to end. Whether you are Mark Foley, you know, pretending to be straight instead of gay and then crusading against gays, or whether you're Ted Haggard out in Colorado Springs doing the same thing, a lot of Christian evangelicals in this country have sort of gotten shaken down, and they realize things are not as they appear to be, and hopefully all of us maybe grew up a little bit, and the election reflects that.
Just one note to what you just described. David Kuo has been on our program once, and we want to get him back. He was in the Office of Faith-Based Initiatives at the White House, and he's published a book that discloses just how cynical the administration was toward the evangelicals that it stroked and used and abused, and that so much of the rhetoric that was aimed at evangelicals was really empty.
That's exactly right. They got used. Their religious dispositions were exploited for political power, and then once the votes had been secured, I don't think this administration either cared a whole lot about following through on the promises or even cared a whole lot about them. In fact, if this book is even halfway accurate, they ridiculed members of the Christian right as sort of crazy, loony, goofy people. Well, you know, I disagree with the Christian right about a lot of things, but the personal insults are not necessary. And I think, again, this kind of unmasked what this administration was all about. They do what they need to do and have to do to win, and then once the religious rhetoric subsides after the election, they turn their attention to the real agenda. The real agenda is environmental deregulation, tax cuts for the wealthy, helping people who are already rich get richer. And I think the shine is off all of this. And I'm really encouraged by this, Peter. I think people sort of woke up to the extent to which they had been had.
Mm-hmm. To me, though, it's really fascinating. The most critical moral issue of the moment revolves around the U.S. posture toward torture and the so-called Military Commissions Act. And, Dr. Myers, we renamed it on our program in the spirit of healthy skies and clear forests or whatever that stuff's called, the Joe Stalin Torture, Detention, and Kangaroo Court Act of 2006.
Right. Nice job.
And, you know, by sending it up that way, I don't want to trivialize the impact of this legislation. To me, it is barbaric. It lowers the standard, you know, for the United States to even below those of some of our enemies. It invites retribution on, again, a much lower moral level. And I just think it's fundamentally wrong. And it was interesting to me because there was so much analysis following the midterm elections, and it took the religion writer at the New York Times to note that nobody raised torture. Nobody talked about habeas corpus. Nobody talked about the rights of the accused, Democrat or Republican, during the midterm campaigns. It was a non-issue.
Yeah, and that just shows what a vindictive and vengeful country we've become. When we sort of accept the idea that certain things have to happen to certain people, we don't think that's going to happen to us. And we've forgotten what the American judicial system is all about. I'd said on one of your previous programs that I never thought I would see the day when we would have a debate about whether or not we ought to torture people. Since that time, with the passage of this act, you or I or anyone out there that the president, who likes to call himself the decider, decides is an enemy combatant can be arrested, and we lose all of our habeas corpus rights. We don't get to have a lawyer. We don't get to see the evidence used against us to decide that we're an enemy combatant. Everything is thrown out the window. We can be sent someplace to be tortured. And it's very incredible, Peter. And why more people aren't rising up against this, I have no idea.
I mean, I'm encouraged that Senator Leahy has said that he wants to make significant changes. Senator Dodd has proposed specific legislation to return us to compliance with the Geneva Conventions, to extend habeas corpus rights to these detainees, and essentially to make the appropriate fixes to this draconian piece of legislation. But I don't hear much about it in the media, except on a program like this. And I just think that this really is an issue that we cannot be silent about.
I don't think people realize what has happened to them. And that's I really think that's a failure of the media, as you say, to get the message out there. I think this whole habeas corpus thing just strikes the man on the street as, well, it's Latin. I know it has something to do with the judicial system, but it doesn't really affect me. And the problem with creeping fascism is that by increments we accept the unacceptable until one day we wake up and we don't recognize the country we live in.
Indeed. And I share your concern. It's interesting. Since you published your book, we tracked down Lawrence Britt, who you cited as the source of, I think, 14 benchmarks of creeping fascism. And we had him on the program in late September or early October. And, Dr. Myers, it is just amazing how these terms that define fascism fit so accurately into our current picture.
Oh, they do. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And this summer, when I was traveling around the country doing speeches and book signings and interviews, I would read that list of 14 indicators that a country is going fascist. And at the end of the list, there was always a little gasp in the audience, because they recognized that all of them are evident and ascendant in the United States. Now, that's not to say we've become fascist, although with the Military Commissions Act, we're getting very close. But all the indicators are pointing us in that direction. And maybe the election will help to turn that tide in a new direction. I'm a pastor, Peter, so I'm professionally obligated to hope. And I'm trying to be hopeful. But it's going to take more than just mere optimism to get us where we need to go. We're going to have some tough, strong leaders who get up and stand for what's right.
We're talking with Dr. Robin Myers. His book, Why the Christian Right is Wrong. It's a powerful book. You should read it if you haven't already. And if you have a question or a comment for Dr. Myers, he's with us this entire hour. There's much more to talk about. Get on the line now at 888-5-PETER-B. That's toll-free 888-573-8372. And as we continue, we'll talk about Foley, we'll talk about Haggard, we'll talk about the future of evangelical politics in this country. I also want to talk more about creeping fascism. I think that's a very central point that Dr. Myers makes in his book. 888-5-PETER-B. Join the conversation now here on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything's a taste you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a pillar affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Well, good afternoon. I'm Frank Sullivan with a look at traffic on KRXA 540. Your commute is going to be rudely cut off if you're in the Santa Cruz Mountains. This is actually southbound 17 just before the Glenwood cutoff. It's after Glenwood Drive. An accident, three-car crash now being moved to the right-hand shoulder. The CHP is on scene. San Mateo, West 92 before Mariners Island. An earlier accident coming across the San Mateo Bridge, or off of the San Mateo Bridge specifically, has now been cleared, but still a big backup there. And northbound Highway 1, the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp, of course, still shut down for long-term road work. That word brought to you by Centrum Silver. Centrum Silver multivitamins, age-adjusted. It helps protect your health as you age with key antioxidants that help support natural cell repair. Centrum Silver, take along with a healthy diet and with exercise. I'm Frank Sullivan with traffic on KRXA 540. We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco. And my able producer is Matt Renner. We're taking your calls this hour with Dr. Robin Myers, the author of Why the Christian Right is Wrong. We've got lines available if you'd like to join us. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And first up on the phone, it's Larry in Aptos. Hi, Larry. You're on the program.
Yeah, hi, Peter. I wanted to bring up a few things. First, I went to Catholic schools for 16 years of my life, so first grade all the way through college.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that there was a tradition with the Catholics, especially back in the early 60s, mid-60s. They were very pro-civil rights. Eventually they, Catholics, the Catholic hierarchy, they were against the Vietnam War. We know about the Berrigan brothers and so on. But in the recent past, it seems Catholics have kind of turned Republican and supported Bush. I think a lot of that might have been based on the abortion issue, even though I know I've seen a poll showing that the vast majority of American Catholics actually are pro-choice. You know, there might be some 30-35% of, you know, virulently anti-choice Catholics.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, so I wanted to bring that up, it's not just the evangelicals, but you have a core group of Catholics, too, that have seemed to have swung to the right, although I have heard in this past election that Catholics again kind of swung back to voting for Democrats. And the other thing is about Catholics and fascism. They have a history. The Catholic hierarchy has a history of supporting fascists. They supported Francisco Franco and the fascists during the Spanish Civil War. And in fact, a couple of years ago when the Pope John Paul, the one before this one, he went over to Spain several years back and he made a few Spanish clergy that were killed during that time into saints. And I asked myself at that time, I wonder, whose side they were on. Were they on the side of the Republicans, or were they side on the of Francisco Franco's fascists?
Well, let's get a comment from Dr. Meyer stipulating that he does not serve at the pleasure of the Vatican.
Okay, yeah, right, I know that.
Yes, let's just... Good important disclaimer here. I'm as Protestant as they come, I guess. But I mean, I have
that's probably a good thing. Maybe.
Well, and Larry makes a very it's Larry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
makes a very good point in that all of us sort of lost our soul in the '60s and '70s. We were doing the legitimate work of the church, which was to care for people who are poor and disadvantaged and left out, and to try to help them and heal them and bring them into the mainstream. That's really when the church is being at its best. And then I think Catholics and Protestants alike got seduced by the idea of power. And as the sort of moral majority grew in this country and the anti-abortion movement was attached to that, I think Larry's exactly right when he identifies that particular issue. And all of a sudden we got seduced by the idea that we could change the world through political action instead of actually going out and doing ministry on behalf of people. And I think one of the things you now see in the latest election, one-third of Christian evangelicals voted Democratic. That is an astonishing statistic as compared with 2004. So I think what all of us are starting to remember is we can lose our way. We can lose our soul, and we need to get our soul back. And our soul is always to help the poor and try to liberate those who are oppressed.
And why is it that the religious power that was translated into politics was all around very hardline Old Testament values, Dr. Myers?
Well, because I think as George Lakoff says, the guy who wrote Don't Think of an Elephant, the guy who's helping us Democrats to try to frame their issues better, Republicans had a strict father morality. And that was that you had to deal with your children in such a way that they learned what was right and wrong and they became responsible. And the way you knew that they had exercised self-discipline and were good kids is that they became prosperous. If they misbehaved or got out of line, you had to punish them. Spare the rod and spoil the child. That's the kind of Republican philosophy of life, and really it plays out in foreign policy as well. So the Old Testament has many more rules about what a God who's understood as a lawgiver and a judge hands down. Do good things, get rewarded by the strict father. But do bad things, you get punished by the strict father. Now that's the view, I think, many Republicans have of the deity. So your view of God determines your politics to a great extent. As I've said before, Peter, nobody is calling for the eight Beatitudes to be carved in stone and put into the courthouse. They're much too kind and gentle and forgiving and compassionate. They're not nearly tough enough.
Mm-hmm. Xavier in Santa Cruz, join us with Dr. Myers here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, hi, Peter, and hi, Reverend.
Hi.
Hey, yeah, I got to say both my father and my mother were strict, so I don't know how well that paradigm holds up, but that's not what I called about.
All right.
I was raised Catholic, and I moved out here to the Left Coast and became very progressive and active, and I was a pagan for a while. I still am, I guess, a pagan, but one of the things I found is you know, doing a lot of direct action and pirate radio and stuff, and I found that, you know, I'm speaking to the choir a lot. I found I could do more good by now. I work with a guy who's a priest in an Orthodox church. He's very good-hearted, but I don't consider him to be racist. He likes some people who are from the Middle East, but he's very bigoted towards people who are practicing Islam. And one of the things that I'm finding is that I try to impress upon him that we get kind of a Hatfields and McCoys type attitude where you go over there and you harm innocent people and take over their country, put yourself in their place, you're creating more enemies than you know, that's not the way to solve it. And I find that if I'm able to go and talk to people who are outside of my realm, I think I'm doing a lot more good that way.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Myers?
You are. There's a chapter in my book called Terminal False Dichotomies, which is my way of explaining how Bush and company have divided up the world kind of like a big rhetorical watermelon. Just they slice it with a big machete, and the two halves roll each way. And on one half, you've got the good guys, and on the other half, you have the evildoers. And, of course, we all know life's not that simple. One of the things this country has to do is quit stereotyping Muslims. When suicide bombers blow themselves up in hope of going to heaven and deliberately kill innocent people, they violate the spirit of the Quran, which expressly forbids that. Just as when Timothy McVeigh, I live in Oklahoma City, blew up the Murrah Federal Building in 1995 and killed 19 children and 160 adults. That's an evil act. Doesn't matter if you're a Christian or a Muslim. We can all violate the spirit of our own religious traditions.
We got to take a break. We'll continue with Dr. Robin Myers. Thank you for the call, Xavier. His book is Why the Christian Right is Wrong, and I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Since the election, and we're not out of Iraq yet. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Yes, people want action, and the politicians aim to please. On the Republican side, John McCain says if you want peace, seek victory.
You can't have a political solution unless you have a military solution.
That means more troops, not fewer. And Lindsey Graham agrees.
We need to increase the Army and Marine Corps by at least 50,000 because we're going to lose this war if we don't adjust quickly.
That's right. It appears the nation with a bigger military budget than the next 15 nations combined is understaffed. Of course, the Democrats are probably going to laugh at the idea of actually sending more troops.
If we're going to challenge Iran and challenge North Korea, and then, as some people have asked, to send more troops to Iraq, we can't do that without a draft.
No, Charles Rangel isn't laughing. He wants a military draft. And as the new head of the House Ways and Means Committee, he'd have the power to raise the money for it. Oh, there's a political motive behind that, too.
This administration would never have invaded Iraq if indeed we had a draft and members of Congress and the administration thought that their kids from their communities would be placed in harm's way.
Of course, it's too late to stop the invasion of Iraq, but you can't keep a good idea down.
Having our young people commit themselves a couple of years in service to this great republic is the best thing for our young people and the best thing for our country. I will be introducing that bill as soon as we start the new session.
Now this.
Computer security threats such as spam, spyware, viruses, and pop-up ads invade your business every day through email, web browsing, and instant messaging.
And the fastest way to stop them is with Barracuda Network's spam firewalls and web filters.
Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now and ask for your free trial.
Barracuda Network's firewalls are affordable and easy to use.
That's why over 35,000 leading companies are using the award-winning firewall. Try a Barracuda firewall for free. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go online to barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
God listens to Billy Sunshine. Maybe you should, too. Sundays, 3 to 5, on KRXA, 540 AM, The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar. Coming soon.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
The Peter B. Collins Show continues. Take a listen to this. It's another one from Roy Zimmerman.
Every time we think about same-sex marriage, it makes us sick to our guts. I mean, two people who want to commit to a stable, monogamous, lifelong relationship, what are they, nuts? It's unnatural. Now, a man should not lie with a person who is a guy. He should only lie to his wife. The Bible is clear. We're defenders of marriage in three-button suits. We'll raise our double standard and see who salutes. Defenders of marriage, defending the institution against people who want to get married.
One more, Roy.
Every time we think about same-sex parents, oh my gosh, we exclaim. I mean, to people who want to provide a protective and nurturing family environment, have they no shame? It's so deviant. It's the Lord's holy word, as my second wife said to my third, that a family's based on obligation and fear. We're defenders of marriage.
Yeah, the strict
and
father.
Jovial narcs, ever vigilant and patriotic patriarchs. Defenders of marriage, defending the institution against people who want to get married.
My favorite term in there is connubial narcs. That's Roy Zimmerman, and it's called Defenders of Marriage off his new CD called Faulty Intelligence. And Roy dropped by with a stack of them. We're going to give one away in the free speech zone next hour. And if you missed our hour with him last week, we're going to repeat it for you on Thanksgiving Day. So just tune in to the Peter B. Collins Show, and we'll have some fun with Roy Zimmerman's music. Dr. Robin Myers is with us. His book, Why the Christian Right is Wrong, came out earlier this year. It's subtitled A Minister's Manifesto for Taking Back Your Faith, Your Flag, Your Future. And what is your take, Dr. Myers, on what appears to be a wedge that has lost its edge? Because we have listeners now in Phoenix, Arizona, who have pointed out to us that that ballot measure failed for reasons beyond just the battle between evangelicals and seculars. But it was an affirming moment to finally see one of these divisive issues voted down.
Well, again, I think the country has grown up just a little bit on this issue and realized the extent to which they've been duped. I don't know that everyone suddenly became defenders of gay marriage. I doubt that. I know that's not the case. But the threat that gay marriage reputedly poses to straight marriage has been sort of exposed as non-existent. I mean, what is the threat? If you go out and ask somebody on the street to tell you exactly what that threat is, it's a threat nobody can find or describe. Then on top of that, you have a couple of high-profile anti-gay crusaders who, in fact, turn out to be gay. So what Mark Foley is out, you know, trying to pretend that he's straight and has his picture taken with beautiful women, and because you can't be a Republican and be gay. And that's the problem, Peter. It's not nice to fool with Mother Nature. If Mark Foley could have been what he is, he would have had a stable life. The fact is, the more denial, the more dysfunction. So he has to pretend that he's something he's not, which forces underground his sexuality, and then it mutates in all kinds of unhealthy ways. And he's out there passing legislation to protect underage teenagers from sexual predators, and he is, in fact, a sexual predator. That kind of rocked the evangelical world, but even more so was Ted Haggard, because Ted Haggard was a pastor, not a politician, who, after all, you know, we put them in a special category. Pastors have an inordinate amount of power among the Christian right. He's got one of the biggest churches in the world, and he had demonized gay people, and he'd used the demonization of gay people to accrue tremendous power, and then it turns out he's paying a male prostitute in Denver to have sex with him. And I think all of a sudden people realized, you know what? It is not a good thing for us to go on kidding ourselves about human sexuality. We need to talk about it frankly and honestly, and we need to do that in the church.
And Dr. Myers, help me out here, because I do not for a moment revel in the misdeeds of Ted Haggard. And I don't judge him because I have sinned at least once myself.
at least once.
But I'm interested not in trying to exploit his failings any further, but only to try to use him as an example of rank hypocrisy,
right,
in an effort to prevent that from occurring more and more.
Well, when Jesus railed against the hypocrisy of the scribes and Pharisees, he was not railing against the scribes and Pharisees. He was railing against their hypocrisy, that they wore their religion on their sleeve, they judged other people, when in fact they did not have good hearts themselves. Ted Haggard's gone through a terrible experience. He lost his church. His family, I'm sure, is in turmoil. He's a broken man. And it's interesting that one of my colleagues, who's a UCC pastor, wrote a column and said, Ted Haggard is now welcome in our church, the United Church of Christ, because we have always been gay-friendly, open to gays and lesbians, so that he could come into our church not as a pretender, but as what he really is, which is a gay man. Then we will accept him and call him valuable and welcome him to the communion table, and he will be a happier, healthier human being. And then if he wants to form a long-term relationship with a gay man instead of paying for sex secretly, then we will validate that decision and celebrate it. And tell me, Peter, that's not a move forward for everybody.
Well, that's... you're living the message of Jesus Christ.
I hope so. I'm trying. It's such a radical message that sometimes even I fall short because I have my own prejudices and biases. But in my church in Oklahoma, your listeners might be astonished to hear this, we voted unanimously to be a church that welcomed gay people, and I have performed, 9 or 10 holy unions. We can't call them marriages in Oklahoma because, of course, the state won't recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
I've done 300 or 400 straight marriages and 9 or 10 gay marriages. The world has not fallen apart. The gay people whom I married were trying to do what the church believes people should do, which is form sacred covenants with one another, take care of each other, grow old together. It's an adventure. It doesn't work out every time. And the greatest threat to marriage is, of course, people who don't take it seriously. We know that. The song you just played highlights that. My third or fourth wife tells me. Peter, we have been so swamped with lies. We've been lied to for so long that all of a sudden, it's like the boy who cried wolf. The last election was the rumblings of an American body politic that sort of opened its eyes and blinked a couple of times and said, geez, things are not the way we've been told they are. The war's not going well, and it isn't going to go well. The debt's getting bigger, and my kids are going to pay the debt. Global warming is real, and this president's not going to do a damn thing about it. All of a sudden, people woke up. I'm encouraged by that. And in no area more so than in our treatment of gays and lesbians, treating them equally, making sure they're not discriminated against, and helping them form long-term relationships is good for them because they're human beings and we ought to care about them.
Dr. Robin Myers here on the Peter B. Collins Show. John joins us from Carmel Valley. Thanks for holding, John. You're on the air.
Religion is my chief interest, even beyond politics, and I am despairing because I don't even know where to begin in my questions. You covered just now the hypocrisy of both Haggard and Foley, which was probably, I guess, their biggest sin, and it didn't surprise me because I, all during the 70s, was in the religious right, not quite a card-carrying member, but almost. It was before they ever got politicized. And I got to know by that period some of the characteristics they're showing now as they are so politicized. And I'd like to ask you, since I don't think they, or even the rest of society, if you asked 100 people, just picked at random, I'm guessing that far less than 50 out of that 100 could correctly define what hypocrisy is. I have never heard a sermon on it, and I was a Catholic. Gee, we're getting a lot of Catholics, both ex and current, or maybe they've all been ex so far. I am an ex-Catholic. I never heard in the first 31 years of my life when I attended Mass almost every Sunday of those 31 years, I never heard a sermon on hypocrisy. I never heard it later when I became a member, the only time I joined a church, a Protestant one. Never heard a sermon on it there.
John, as a recovering Catholic myself, I would just offer that perhaps they didn't want you to be armed with a term like that because you might apply it to them.
That's right. This can all hit a little too close to home sometimes for the clergy, and it's odd that you would never hear a sermon about it when if you just go through your New Testament again, read everything in red letters, you'll see an extraordinary amount of anger on the part of Jesus reserved for people who pretend to be something that they are not.
His strongest anger, he uses, not just whited sepulchres, but all kinds of, I mean, he was just seething with anger in those dialogues he has that I think the Catholic Church still has those. Aren't they in the Gospel of Matthew? And the Catholic Church, I think, still reads those passages. You hear them from the altar the only time I have, and they are scathing dialogues, and I think that's the reason Easter, despite the resurrection and how important, and you would think, abiding the doctrine of the resurrection is what keeps people making it still just a one-day event rather than Christmas, now three-month event, is because not just the death on the cross, but it's those dialogues that Jesus has with the Pharisees about hypocrisy. We just don't like hearing that.
Well, we are much more interested in worshiping Christ as a kind of alien being who came to earth, has done his work to save us, and gone back from whence he came, than we are interested in following a teacher of wisdom, and very subversive wisdom at that. One of my biggest missions in my own ministry is to remind people that we're supposed to be following Jesus. We're not supposed to be worshiping Christ. He did not want fans. He wanted disciples.
John, I wish we had more time. I can tell you're passionate about this, but I need to move along. Thank you for your call today. Dr. Myers, is there a website where people can read some of your commentaries that get published in your local paper?
Yeah, okgazette.com. I write for the Oklahoma Gazette, and those columns are all posted online at okgazette.com. Then our church website is mayflowerucc.org.
Okay, great. We're going to take a quick break and return with Dr. Robin Myers. We'll take more of your phone calls. 888-5 Peter B is my toll-free number. And his book, you got to read it, Why the Christian Right is Wrong, A Minister's Manifesto for Taking Back Your Faith, Your Flag, Your Future. Dr. Robin Myers, our guest here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's mm-hmm. just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
And once again, good afternoon. Frank Sullivan taking a look at traffic in and out of our Monterey Peninsula at this hour. A couple of things to tell you about. One is southbound 17 just past Glenwood. That continues to be a problem. An accident, three cars involved, now cleared to the right-hand shoulder, but expect some slow traffic behind it as you try and make your way out of the Santa Clara Valley into the mountains and back down into Santa Cruz. Sanborn Road between Abbott and Highway 101 in Salinas. We have some round-the-clock road work. Westbound traffic is currently using the eastbound lane, and that's causing some delays. And more road work northbound on Highway 1, the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp closed for long-term road work. Long-term detours are in place. That brought to you by Hyundai. It's your last, best, biggest chance to save. The Hyundai Challenge year-end event. Come make your best deal of the year with savings across a lot. Hurry to Hyundai or go to HyundaiChallenge.com. Frank Sullivan with traffic on KRXA 540.
That would be me in the corner, yeah. Right. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and our guest is Dr. Robin Myers.
Oh, life is bigger. It's bigger than you. You are not me. The links that I will go to, the distance in your eyes.
We'll take more of your calls in a moment. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number if you'd like to join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Dr. Myers, I wanted to ask you to weigh in on something that I brought up earlier today on the program, and it has to do with the balance of political interests and the loss of life in Iraq. And I'll offer just two examples. Bush knew he was going to sack Donald Rumsfeld sometime before the midterm elections. He flat out lied and then rationalized the lie to the press when confronted a week later because he said that he had confidence in Rumsfeld and he'd be there till the end of the term. Secondly, today, based on an interview that was broadcast in London over the weekend, we have quotes from Dr. Henry Kissinger, who presided over our debacle in Vietnam and who we were surprised to learn a few months ago is a key private advisor to Bush on the war in Iraq. And he now says that, a military victory in Iraq is not possible. Now, he knew that before the midterm elections. And just to narrow it, we lost 106 Americans during October alone. And thousands of Iraqis died. And now we're going to adjust our policy because it's safe. It's after the midterm election. But the cynical determination that those individuals made to keep silent as Americans died every day is something that I have a real problem with.
Well, and especially when you are keeping yourself busy calling other people evil, and you are in fact doing yourself what is politically expedient. It reminds me a little bit of Robert McNamara back in the 60s. He knew the Vietnam War could not be won, and we didn't find that out till a long time afterward.
Yeah.
Politicians who do what is politically expedient at the cost of human life, if that isn't evil, then I don't understand the definition.
Mm-hmm. So how do we deal with it?
Well, I mean, I think we all wake up to the fact that we have been lied to compulsively and pathologically.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we are dealing here with a lying machine, and it happens again and again and again. And so at some point, you have to simply rise up and say, I'm sorry, I've lost all trust in this administration. I don't believe anything they say. I don't think they value human life, no matter how often they talk about being pro-life. We don't even count Iraqi dead. We don't count them because they don't count. And this we do in the name of Jesus. It's an extraordinary time we live in, Peter. Things are upside down. I wrote the book because I simply wanted people to wake up, look around, sort of in the biblical terms, have the scales fall from their eyes, because we are in dangerous, dangerous times right now. I mean, the future of the whole planet, the whole human race, hangs in the balance. We need to be able to trust our leaders and think of them as truly magnanimous human beings, not people who simply do what they need to do to hold on to power.
Brian in Mesa, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show with Dr. Robin Myers.
Hi, Peter.
Hello, Brian.
I appreciate you taking my call. Dr. Myers, I'm not really very smart in theology or politics or civics, but I have noticed a trend, and maybe you've heard this term before, but catalyzation. It just seems like we're catalyzed, you know, in the marketplace, at work, when we go to the post office, whenever we buy or sell. And the church used to be a refuge from that. And now we've got these mega churches where you're herded in, they give you a perfunctory message, and then you're herded out, and then the custodians come in, they clean up, and they get in for the next shift. And it just seems, you know, I used to go to a small congregation, and I knew the pastor personally. He wasn't very charismatic, but I always got his sermon, and I appreciated it. I didn't feel like I was a customer. I felt like a part of a congregation.
Well, that's an interesting metaphor that you're using there. And, Dr. Myers, these mega churches are like mega malls.
Well, they are. They've, instead of standing over against culture to critique what's wrong with it and try to transform human beings and make them better, we've simply bought into the consumer culture. And our churches look like malls. There are no discernible religious figures in them, just a big stage, an orchestra pit. A minister walks around with a wireless mic and entertains us. You can have all this in Jesus, too. It's called prosperity theology, and it's rampant in this country. So even though Jesus talked about the hazards of wealth, the spiritually debilitating hazards of wealth, the church has now given itself over to helping us all get rich. Now, these things are incompatible. So Brian is absolutely right. Somewhere along the line, I don't know this term catalyzing that he used, but somewhere along the line, we lost the distinction the church is supposed to have as it stands over against our culture to warn us about things that are not good for us. We simply bought into religion as one more consumer product and a church service as one more form of entertainment.
Brian, thanks for the call today. Now to Deborah in Phoenix. Hello, Deborah. You're on the air.
Hi. First of all, the hypocrisy of the right and of the Bush administration just makes me so angry. But I even have a greater emotion, and that's of this overwhelming sadness of what my country has done to hundreds of thousands of innocent Iraqis. And being a man of the cloth, you know what forgiveness means in the Christian doctrine. I just have to wonder, what can we do or ever do to feel a sense of forgiveness? You know, Iraq is such a dangerous part of the world and probably will be for at least Americans for a long time. How can we, I think as a nation, we are going to start feeling, if we don't already, this tremendous sense of guilt.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a component of forgiveness in the Muslim religion. But I just have to ask myself, what can we possibly do?
Well, the big problem, of course, with forgiveness, and we and people in the church have struggled with this for 2,000 years, is if we forgive the sin, have we condoned the sin? Do we get a little bit of it on us, if you will? I think it's interesting, Deborah, that you, as a woman, are able to share the emotion of sadness so readily. I feel it. I wish more people would feel it. Because if we confronted what it is that we've done in this war, which is
right,
to kill hundreds of thousands of people, many
right,
of them innocent civilians, if we don't feel sadness about that, if literally we can't cry about that...
And we're all responsible.
We are all responsible. And it's not a question of, do we forgive the president now? What we do now is stand up for what's right And then at some personal level, our faith may compel us to forgive him. That doesn't mean we condone what he's done.
Right, right.
Deborah, thank you for the call. I want to squeeze in one more. It's Ruth in Phoenix. Go ahead, Ruth. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Peter. This is my first time calling.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. I wanted to make a comment on Mr. Myers' comment earlier when he talked about the religions being seduced by power.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the religions are being seduced by money through interfaith groups and through the money that the government is giving them. I worked for Catholic Social Services and Lutheran Social Ministries, and it's not just the Catholics. They receive millions and millions of dollars from the government. Most of them would have to close their doors without having the money that they're getting.
Let me get a quick comment, 30 seconds, Dr. Myers.
Well, that's why I support the separation of church and state and oppose faith-based initiatives. We should never be handing government money to private religious organizations because all kinds of corruption follows, and that's simply one more form of power, Ruth, that the money itself is a form of power. We're on the wrong track. We need to pull back from faith-based initiatives.
Ruth, thank you for that call. And Dr. Myers, thank you for a powerful hour. It's always inspiring to talk with you. And we'll talk again soon. The new book is Why the Christian Right is Wrong, a Minister's Manifesto for Taking Back Your Faith, Your Flag, Your Future. We've been talking with Dr. Robin Myers, M-E-Y-E-R-S. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. We go into the free speech zone next. Call me at 888-5-PETER-B.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
The Monterey Bay Chapter of the United Nations Association invites you to the annual Human Rights Day Luncheon, Saturday, December 2nd at noon at the Elks Lodge in Monterey. This event will honor Paul Klein, longtime volunteer leader of the Interfaith Homeless Emergency Lodging Program. And yours truly, Peter B. Collins, will deliver a talk. Are human rights being redefined in a tortured way? The public is invited. Log on to unamontereybay.org for more information or call 831-375-8301.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. There will be no book signings, no late-night talk show appearances for O.J. Simpson. Today, News Corp, which owns both Fox Broadcasting and HarperCollins Publishing, canceled plans to release Simpson's book, If I Did It, and for him to appear on a Fox TV special. News Corp chairman Rupert Murdoch says he and senior management agree with the American public that this was an ill-considered project. Karen Holt is deputy editor at Publishers Weekly.
This is a really big embarrassment for News Corp, but it's an even bigger embarrassment for Judith Regan. I mean, she's always been known as being so powerful within that company that she's gotten away with anything she wants to get away with.
Regan is the editor who brought the book to fruition. She says she considers it O.J. Simpson's confession. Comedian Paul Rodriguez was at the Laugh Factory in West Hollywood Friday night when Michael Richards, who starred as Kramer on Seinfeld, hurled racial epithets at a black heckler in the audience.
Mr. Richards will no longer be accepted in this establishment because we do not back these ugly, hateful words.
Tonight, Richards appears on The Late Show with David Letterman telling his side.
I lost my temper on stage. I was at a comedy club trying to do my act, and I got heckled, and I took it badly and went into a rage.
Richards insists he's not a racist and says he's deeply, deeply sorry. A school bus plunged off a highway overpass in Huntsville, Alabama today. Three teenage girls were killed, at least 30 people hurt. The bus had no seatbelts. The elderly man whose car plowed into a Los Angeles farmer's market, killing 10 people, has been sentenced to probation. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman covered the proceedings.
There were emotional words in the courtroom. Relatives of those killed talked about their loss.
There's no excuse
for what Mr. Weller has done.
Defense attorney Mark Borenstein argued that sending George Weller to prison would not be good for anyone.
What societal purpose would be served by imposing what will amount to a death sentence?
The judge had harsh words for George Weller. He said the crimes deserve prison, but because of Weller's health, the judge gave him probation. Steve Futterman, CBS News, at the Criminal Courts Building in Los Angeles.
Weller is 90 years old and bedridden. Gasoline prices may have bottomed out around Election Day.
I'm Dan Revive in New York. It is largely supply and demand is higher, with tens of millions of Americans hitting the road this week for Thanksgiving visits. That appears the main reason for an increase in the price of gasoline, up 0.7 cents to an average of $2.24 for a gallon of regular. That's the national average from the Federal Government Energy Information Administration, $2.24.
The Dow slipped 26 points today, closing at 12,316, but the Nasdaq gained nearly 7 points. It finished the day at 24.52. The price of oil fell 17 cents to 58.80 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Because financial solutions have no borders or boundaries, because one market affects another market, UBS operates in only two locations, everywhere and right next to you. Powerful global resources leveraged every day to the most important issues. Yours. UBS. Leader in wealth management, global asset management, and investment banking. And committed to a relationship we call you and us. Member SIPC.
What tobacco issues are important to you?
The health effects. That's what concerns me.
Last night, Brian went to philipmorrisusa.com.
There's a lot of information there, but for me it all came down to this. There is no safe cigarette.
Cigarette smoking causes lung cancer, heart disease, and emphysema. If you'd like more information on the health effects of smoking, as well as links for smokers who've decided to quit, find out more. Visit philipmorrisusa.com.
President Bush, who ended his Asia tour with a brief visit to Indonesia, said he's waiting to hear from a variety of sources before deciding whether to increase or decrease troop levels in Iraq. CBS News correspondent David Martin has details of one option on the table.
A team of military advisors has developed one option, which includes a temporary troop buildup as prelude to the start of a withdrawal. A measure of the quandary the Bush administration faces, that was rejected just last week by the top military commander for Iraq.
I do not believe that more American troops right now is the solution to the problem.
General John Abizaid said putting in another 20,000 American troops would keep a tighter lid on the violence, but it would undermine the strategy of turning over the fighting to Iraqis.
Congressman Duncan Hutter, who chairs the House Armed Services Committee, says trained Iraqi units stationed in peaceful provinces should be sent to beef up security in Baghdad. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
This is a dangerous place. Inside a calculator at tax time, a business owner has this thing smoking. How? He's got a Discover business card, so he downloads statements anytime he wants. Has his purchase records right at his fingertips. A lot faster and easier than a box full of receipts. Hey, ease up there, big guy. You'll sprain your pinky.
It's time to take control with the new Discover business card. Visit discoverbiz.com/control or call 1-888-221-4BIZ to learn more.
The Office Depot pre-Thanksgiving sale. Our prices won't be beat on notebook computers, digital cameras, MP3 players, and HD TVs. We won't be undersold. So shop now through Wednesday and avoid the after Thanksgiving crowds. Office Depot, taking care of business and the holidays. Taking care of business. Office Depot. Quantities limited while supplies last.
The last time the United States of America had a military draft, it produced protests and songs like this.
Not the present or the past. It can happen anywhere, anytime. Bring back the 60s, man.
Well, it's kind of a rare confluence of events. But over the weekend, George W. Bush was in Vietnam. And we made jokes about that last week, so I won't I won't repeat the same jokes. And on the Sunday chat shows, Charles Rangel, a African-American congressman from New York, reiterated a proposal that he has made in the past, that the U.S. needs to beef up its military, that the volunteer army will not be sufficient to meet the challenges of our near future, and that we ought to stop pretending and playing games and have the backdoor draft that puts a lot of pressure on reservists and National Guard members and others. And let's just face facts. We need more people in our military services. And Rangel says it's time to reinstate the draft. Well, I'd like to hear your thoughts about this. We're in the free speech zone, and all my lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Because on a certain level, Charlie Rangel is correct. On the other hand, I'm kind of squeamish that a Democrat has made the proposal to reinstate the draft in this country. Because no matter how it's done, with a national service component that requires every high school graduate to commit a year or two to some form of service, no matter how it's done, when draftees are killed in the line of duty, the repercussions domestically will be very, very strong. And if Republicans are able to spin the draft as a Democratic idea, who knows how it could be used against those who oppose this war. And so I want to hear your thoughts. And in particular, if you are of draft age and you're listening to this program, call and identify yourself to Matt as somebody under 30. I will put you to the front of the line. Because if you are potentially subjected to a draft, I want to know if you think it's the right way to go. 888-5-PETER-B. A couple of other things I wanted to add to the mix. Henry Kissinger's comments that military victory is not possible in Iraq. Now, we know that Kissinger has been talking to Bush on a regular basis. Has he shared this with W? And as I pointed out with Dr. Robin Myers last hour, it is shameful and immoral for Kissinger and others to have sat on their hands until after the midterm elections, and now suddenly they're willing to talk honestly. I can't believe that Henry Kissinger, 3 weeks ago, felt that victory was within our grasp in Iraq, and it's only since the turn of the calendar to November that Kissinger recognizes our failure. So all the lines are open, and all the lines are busy right now, I'm sorry. So we're going to go right to your calls here. And who's up first? It's Frank in Marina. Hello, Frank. You're on the PBC show.
PETER-B, great program today.
Thank you.
I heard Ray McGovern before, my hero.
Isn't he amazing?
Oh, yeah.
He's a great American, truly.
Yes, he is. Two things about the draft, PETER. First, you know, Rangel brought that up 2 years ago.
Yes, he did.
Now, there's two ways to look at it. One, you have more cannon fodder for more wars, more occupations, more death and destruction, just like we had in the previous wars. Two, what I think he was looking for was, now if you have everybody available for the draft, that means rich and as well as poor,
mm-hmm.
or educated as well as non-educated, have to go. Of course, there's always deferments, as we had before in Vietnam and everything, and during the Korean War. But
maybe not. There were no real deferments toward the end of the Vietnam draft. As they shifted to the lottery system, there were no longer college deferments. There were a few medical and psychological deferments, but not as many as were available during the 1960s.
That's true. But the thing is, PETER, this military budget, this military, I mean, we're a military police state now. When the hell are the people going to wake up
mm-hmm.
and say no more? You know what? All this money we've spent in Iraq, give every person on Social Security $200 a month more in their check. You know what I mean?
Well, that would be
nice. Help the seniors out.
Yeah.
Help the disabled out.
Do you think, though, that Charlie Rangel is crazy like a fox? Do you think that if we did reinstate the draft, because it would spread the pain and the sacrifice to every sector of American society, including those who got the Bush tax cuts, do you think then that people would be more realistic and less likely to support these kinds of unilateral adventures?
I think so. And that may be his angle, Peter B. I can't second guess him, but you'll see more riots or demonstrations
mm-hmm.
like you had in the 60s and everything.
Yeah.
By the way, did you ever see, and this is basically pertaining to this with the draft and wartime, it was that movie Yes, Sir, No, Sir?
I have seen that, yes.
Oh, it was great.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to Tom Hayden last week.
Oh, you did?
And I admire one of my heroes.
I like Tom, yeah.
I was at the Green Fest up in the city.
Sure.
And I said, you know, you've been my hero since 1968. And I got out of the Army in January of 68 before the Chicago 7
yeah.
Democratic National Convention. But anyway, mm-hmm. I said, you remember about 15 months ago when retired Master Sergeant Stan Goff said, 30 days, you know, like I talked to you and Scott Dick about 2 weeks ago.
Right.
I said, you can get everybody out as well as the equipment within 30 days. And Scott said, what, 2 weeks, right? Remember that. And,
right.
And you said, oh, no. Well, Kissinger, of all people, along with Nixon and everybody else, and I had mentioned this on your show before, knew by 1968 that the Vietnam War was unwinnable.
Right.
And they stayed for 5 more years.
Yep.
And we lost 20,000 more. Plus, for some reason, we never count the people we kill.
No, of course. No. Yeah.
So,
Frank, thanks a lot. I want to jump to another call. We've got Jonas on the line from Phoenix. Hello, Jonas.
Hey, Peter B. Collins.
You're almost draft age.
Oh, yeah, definitely I'm draft age. And, I'm also I'm in Arizona, in Phoenix here, and part of the counter-military recruitment coalition, actually. And I hear that there's the Democrats wanting to reinstitute the draft. It just brings back to my mind that, you know, the Democratic Party is also, you know, servant of the military-industrial complex as much as the Republicans, but we are kind of expecting the draft and getting ready for it to happen on, like, almost a national level.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to our website, I guess, arizonacrc.org, if you wanted to, like, visit and see what we're all about, of course. We're, like, going to high schools every week talking to kids in case the draft happens, or this is what the military says, and this is what the true numbers are as far as homelessness and depleted uranium and post-traumatic stress and all those issues. So we're out there actively.
Mm-hmm. And tell me about your peers. It says on the screen you're 29 years old. Are people your age concerned about this? Do they feel that they would get sucked into the military and end up in Iraq?
I don't think people are. Right now, the poverty draft going on, so people of color and people who are impoverished are the ones being, you know, pushed down by the Republican Party. Like, that's what they're doing is the poverty draft, we feel like, you know, right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, right now, if they would put it in more context, like you're saying, I think that more people who are of all sects of the society would be pulled upon to become eligible or just thrown into this battle where they don't want to, and the resistance that we're organizing, underground economies and that stuff, is going to take place. We saw, like you said, you saw in the 60s. I didn't see that time, so.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, you know, I came of age during the Vietnam War, and I drew number 4 in the draft lottery in 1971. And fortunately, the war ended before my group got called, and I would have been forced to serve or go into alternate service. And it really did make the Vietnam War a personal issue for everyone my age. And we have so many people in this country who are well detached from the war in Iraq. It doesn't bother them. They don't think about it. They're not paying extra taxes or sacrificing in any way. And I don't want people to feel that pain. I don't want families to be divided, and I don't want young people to be drafted. On the other hand, Charlie Rangel has a point about the classism of what you call the poverty draft. And he is trying to address that in a way that would cause suburban white people to think more carefully about the decisions this administration has made and the true cost that we pay for them.
Yeah, definitely paying more attention to a nonviolent solution to all these conflicts that are happening right now, for sure.
Yeah, Jonas, thanks for the call. Great to have you listening.
Welcome. Thank you.
More of your calls coming up next. Grab a line. There's one open for you in the free speed zone here at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372 here at the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. See, people feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by and have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Toyota Prius sedan, the hot-selling hybrid that has everybody talking. The Prius has a gas-electric combo power plant, and the gas portion is a 1.5-liter four-cylinder unit. When the light turns green, you start off with electric power, and the gas transitions in very smoothly as needed to accelerate. I was pleasantly surprised when I punched it to jump from 60 to 80 on the freeway, uphill, and it had all the power I needed. Inside, it's roomy and comfortable for a compact with decent cargo space in the rear, and it's got a generous accessory package. One design flaw to me, the hatchback has limited visibility in the rearview mirror. Toyota fixed this with a nice backup camera. You should definitely test drive a Prius before you buy your next car. By the numbers, the Prius gets 51 mpg on the highway, averages 60 in the city. It stickers in California for about $27,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540. If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
12-Step Talk Uncensored is a new talk show where we speak openly about the deadly, shame-based disease of alcoholism and addictions. In this country, most of us are affected in some way. Causes and cures, genetics or willpower. Saturday, 4 to 5, with Sheila Gale, brought to you in part by Myrick Photographic in Monterey. Go to myrickphoto.com and get your holiday cards online. Saturdays at 4 with Sheila on KRXA. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
Well, once again, good afternoon. I'm Frank Sullivan with a look at traffic on KRXA 540 in and out of our Monterey Peninsula. We're starting to see that trademark light traffic on this Thanksgiving week. We have no stalls or accidents to report on any major roadway around the area. Roadwork to tell you about, warn you about, in Watsonville, Highway 1, between Highway 129 and Freedom Boulevard, as has been the case for the past couple months. Caltrans is going to have one lane closed on Highway 1 in each direction. That for pavement upgrades, and that from 7 p.m. until 6 a.m., some delays there. And remember, the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp closed off of northbound Highway 1 for at least another 4 weeks. That we're brought to you by TomTom. TomTom Go is your portable everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. I'm Frank Sullivan with traffic on KRXA 540. We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. I've got lines available here in the free speed zone at 888-5-PETER-B. More of your calls in just a second, but it's time for the fictional portion of our broadcast day. I can't resist.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within.
commercial break, I accessed my email, and this dispatch came in from Andy Borowitz at BorowitzReport.com. It reads, Bush goes AWOL in Vietnam, pays emergency visit to Alabama. President Bush raised eyebrows in diplomatic circles over the weekend when he inexplicably went AWOL during his historic first visit to Vietnam. The president had been expected to discuss pressing issues like trade and security with Vietnamese leaders, making his mysterious disappearance all the more controversial. But according to reporters traveling with Bush on Air Force One, the summit was ill-fated from the start, as the president was overheard muttering, "How the heck can I get out of going to Vietnam?" Shortly after his arrival in Hanoi, Bush craftily eluded his Secret Service escorts, escaping through the window of his hotel room via a makeshift rope of bedsheets. When the president was a no-show to stay dinner later that evening, it fell to White House spokesman Tony Snow to report the gathering of dignitaries and reporters, "I'm afraid the president has flown the coop." According to Snow, Bush left behind a scrawled note on stationery indicating he had to attend to an emergency in Alabama. The mystery deepened, however, when Alabama authorities issued a statement indicating there was no evidence that the president had shown up in their state at all. Within minutes of Bush's disappearance from Hanoi, the Vietnamese government invited Vice President Dick Cheney to take his place, but Cheney deferred accepting that invitation five times. "I have other priorities," the vice president explained. And you can read that for yourself at BorowitzReport.com if you're so inclined. We go to the calls, and Richard in Monterey, you're next here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
All right. Now, first off, I'm not draft age. I was drafted, though, in 1969, and I now have two children who are of draft age, and I believe that with our current government having spent our tax dollars, because we are all paying for this war, and we're all paying for it maybe behind a screen. Our military is broken. Volunteer military is broken. Equipment is broken. And we will need a draft in order to resupply. And for Rangel to propose this draft, I think, is, as you say, crazy like a fox, because not only are I got a conscientious objective discharge out of the military in 1970, refusing to do service in Vietnam. I believe that with the one of the bigger percentages of non-voting public being female between the ages of 18 to 32, that if the court does not overturn women fighting in combat zones, that it would be far more devastating to a war mentality to draft women. I think the women would join on the streets opposing a draft more so than they did during the 60s and the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And daddy's little girl wouldn't be going to war, and daddy would be out on the street, and mommy would be out on the street,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to just the kids who were out on the street in the 60s and a few of the adults, along with the 50- and 60-year-old parents who went through the 50s or the 60s and the 70s in Vietnam.
Right.
And so I believe that it's better to, as Mr. Rangel is doing, approach the subject, realize what's going to be happening, and prepare for it, like the previous caller.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that you provide the military with too many bodies to pick up a rifle, and it's too easy to send off a few thousand here and there. And you make them work for it and make them justify to the public,
mm-hmm.
and make everybody interested, and make everybody be interested because they have a human vested interest in it, their children.
And Richard, how would you counsel your children if a draft is reinstated?
Well, you know, I just bought my two children passports.
Okay, that answers my question. Thank you very much. Now to Shannon in Monterey. Shannon, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter B. Just to let you know, I'm a big fan. Try to listen to you as much as possible.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. You know, I'm 23, just prime of my life. Just, you know, I have a lot of friends the same age, just kind of, you know, just getting their lives together, like, pretty much.
Sure.
Yeah, and it's just like I don't know, once I heard this draft whole situation just show up, my heart completely sank. And, you know, I went around and told my friends, and they're like, you know, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. So they look it up and find out, lo and behold, some jerk is trying to get this going on. And I do have to say that, you know, if the draft does happen, the at least the Californian population is going to go way down, and the Canadian population is going to absolutely skyrocket. Because I haven't really met one person that around my age range that's really down to be drafted and go to war for some dude that really might not have any idea what he's talking about.
Well, I can understand that. It's a certain natural human reaction. And, Shannon, this is one of the things that I've been wrestling with in comparing the experience around Vietnam with the experience currently around Iraq.
Yes.
And what is really missing is that you and I are not on the line here. We don't have skins in the game. We're watching this, from the comfort of our living rooms on the big screen plasma TV, and we are completely detached and insulated from it. And while I don't want the draft to come back, my stepson is 21 years old, and he would be right smack in the eligibility pool. I do recognize that some of the complacency in America today is due to the fact that people don't have any risk in the decisions that have been made by this administration. And what I'm sorry to hear is that it leads people like you to think about leaving the country, that rather than serving our nation and trying to fix the problems, you would say, I am out of here. Thank you, Shannon. I appreciate your call today. Got to go to a break here in just a second. Lines are open for you the rest of this hour in the Free Speech Zone. Grab a line and let's talk about it. You ready for the draft to come back? 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
This is Laura Pruneda of Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Prunetta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Prunetta of Prunetta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunettaRealEstate.com.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you've got a comment you'd like to share with our listeners, I want to hear from you. Lines are open in the free speed zone, and I pay for the call. Actually, I do. I actually pay for the toll-free call. 888-5-PETER-B is my number. 888-573-8372. I'm not sure if I heard this correctly, but Fox, the network, has canceled the two-part special about the OJs that was scheduled for post-Thanksgiving. Maybe I misunderstood. Let me turn to my man, Doug Ferrari, DougZilla.com. Doug, you called me earlier today and you said Fox was dropping the OJ specials. That was about the singing group from Philadelphia, am I right?
No. Oh, by the way, it's now DougFerrari.com.
Oh, okay, DougFerrari.com.
When I did DougZilla.com, Godzilla sued me.
I didn't know that.
Yes, Godzilla sued me. He has a lawyer on Wilshire Boulevard in Santa Monica.
Wow.
And but I kept it anyway. But now it's DougFerrari.com, and yes, it just hit the air that Fox had its first moment of conscience and canceled the book and canceled the TV show, and OJ is not going to get $3.5 million.
Wow. What? I mean, Rupert Murdoch doesn't have a conscience, so how do we explain this?
Well, actually, it has nothing to do with conscience. It's the first good decision Fox has made since they put on The Simpsons, but the reason is...
That's the other Simpson decision.
Yes, that's right.
When they put Homer and the family on, yeah.
Right. This is because of a firestorm of controversy.
Right.
Rupert Murdoch personally apologized to the Brown and Goldman families because they weren't going to get a penny of the money.
Mm-hmm.
OJ used a third-person intermediary to make sure that his children were going to get all the money.
I see.
Because, of course, he was convicted in civil court, mm-hmm. and he owes the Goldmans $33.5 million, of which he's never paid a dime.
But, Doug, this does set a precedent for a whole new style of writing, the hypothetical tell-all.
Well, yes, he says it's hypothetical. The publisher said that she thought that it was actually a confession, and that's why mm-hmm. she was publishing it, because she was an abused woman, and she was helping abuse women everywhere.
Now, this is Judith Regan.
Right.
Who has admitted that she slept with Bernie Kerik when she was editing his book.
Yeah, she...
And maybe she'll write a hypothetical tell-all. You know, if I had slept with Bernie Kerik, this is what it would have been like.
They did an expose of her in Vanity Fair, and yes, she will publish just about anything. And, of course, she never mentioned that any of the money was actually going to go to abused women. But I think it's fascinating because, well... 2 weeks after I got married, OJ killed his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I used to have quite loud fights occasionally. And the police came to the door once, and they said, we have to arrest somebody. And I said, don't you just tell the couple to be quiet and then leave? And they said, yeah, we used to do that, but not since O.J.
Huh.
So O.J. ruined my marriage.
He changed everything.
Yeah, he changed everything. And he still claims that he's innocent, and he's the one who said it was hypothetical. Of course, he actually killed the two people, but the reason he got off is because the LAPD is so screwed up, they actually planted evidence on a guilty person.
Well, and Mark Furman has gone on to become, what, a Fox News commentator or something like that? I mean,
he also has published best-selling true crime books.
What a lowlife.
Yeah.
What
so
a lowlife.
Everybody got a book out of the deal, and O.J. wanted a book, too. And it's all about the LAPD. I mean, you know, his whole theory that, you know, there's blood in his house, there's blood on his Bronco, he's cut in the hand, and he flies to Chicago immediately afterwards. He's seen dropping something in an airport garbage can,
right. Goes
to Chicago, goes to his hotel room, breaks a glass, and then says that the glass breaking is why he was cut.
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, there's blood all over the United States, but they had to plant the glove.
Yeah.
Because there was nothing in the alley, and then suddenly there was a bloody glove in the alley, and that's what the LAPD did.
Now, Doug, you were the first one to inform me that Fox not only dropped the TV specials, but the book as well. What are they going to put on television, those 2 open hours? Simpson reruns?
Well, actually, they're the ones that invented Cops, which is... They show a guy and his family being arrested. The guy's entire family and all his friends see him being arrested. The entire country sees him being arrested. And at the end, really quickly, they whisper, he was released later for lack of evidence. And I want to talk about the LAPD for just a second because they don't get caught doing anything unless somebody has a camera.
Right.
And thank God for video phones because this LAPD cop was caught beating a man before he handcuffed him. Remember?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've seen
it. A few days ago.
Yeah.
And the guy had a video phone, which is there's no privacy or secrets anymore. He put it on YouTube, and that's how the LAPD heard about it.
Yeah, it's right next to the Macaca video.
That's correct.
Hey, Doug, I got to jump. I want to thank you for the report. You're the first one who told me about it, and it kind of made my day.
I do the punchline?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. The punchline is this is the same LAPD who beat Rodney King 51 times with batons.
Right.
Because they said he was in a Hyundai doing 81 miles an hour. You show me a Hyundai that does 81 miles an hour, you can beat my ass with a stick. Okay.
Thank you, Doug.
Thank you, Peter.
DougFerrari.com. And now, what I think is our first international call in at least recent memory, Ward joins us from Kashima City, Japan. Moshi Moshi.
Hello, Peter. I really enjoy listening to your program over the Internet.
Well, thank you for taking the trouble to call. It must be 6 o'clock in the morning or something.
No, it's about 10:45.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, tell me what's on your mind, Ward.
Well, this discussion of the draft, reinstituting the draft from the Democrats' side really disturbs me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in my 50s. I've got 2 kids in their 20s. And I think to be talking about this at a time when we have a president who claims all kinds of imperial powers, the Military Commissions Act,
yes,
the Patriot Act, we no longer have a free press. What little we did have in the Vietnam War is gone. We no longer have the ability to protest in the street and have it covered. Often protests are shuttled off into a baseball diamond someplace, a free speech zone.
You're right.
So I think, and these guys claim the right to strike any country that they say is the United States.
Preemptively, yes.
Preemptively.
Mm-hmm.
And to institute a draft, to me, is just suicide. It's just giving America's children to these madmen. And until we get rid of the madmen, get rid of the Patriot Act, the military commissions, the renditions, the torture, and correct all of that stuff, I don't even think we ought to talk about it.
Well, I hear your point, and I share your meaning there, and I have these mixed feelings about what Rangel has proposed. As I pointed out, I'm disappointed that a Democrat is advancing this proposal because I think that that will be used against the party down the road, whether a draft materializes or not. If it is part of an overall national service program, I find that easier to take, but I share your concern that until we fix these other problems with our government, we would be permitting our sons and daughters to be basically taken into a killing machine that we don't have control over.
And it won't just be Iraq. As Cheney has said, this is going to last our lifetimes. So until we get rid of those guys, I don't even think it ought to even be on the table.
Yeah.
And for all those reasons, by the way, I left the country already.
You're already comfortably expatriated, eh?
I am expatriated, and I have no plans of ever returning to that country.
And where is Kashima City?
Kashima City is on the Pacific coast, and it's about 90 miles due east of Tokyo.
Okay.
And it's a small town. It's about 70,000 population.
Mm-hmm.
I live out in a farming village.
Great. Well, Ward, it's a pleasure to have you listening. Call us again, and tell me how you make the call internationally. I didn't think you could dial a 888 number from Japan.
Well, I can dial a 888 number. It just isn't toll-free.
Oh, okay.
And I've got a good international plan, so.
Great. I'm glad to know that works.
All right,
Ward, thank you very much.
Keep up the good work.
That's a thrill to get a call all the way from Japan. Now to Meredith in Marina. Thanks for holding. You're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
How are you doing tonight, Peter?
Good.
I am calling you in response to Shannon's comment that he made.
Okay.
I am also 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I lived in Alabama for 14 years, and now I've been, you know, a native Californian for going on 8. And, you know, I have to disagree with him. You know, I don't agree with the whole draft, but if it was instituted, I would be proud to serve my country. I wouldn't put my tail between my legs and run away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't necessarily agree with it, but as an American, I feel that's something that I would have to do. So I kind of feel bad that my peers, people my age, are even thinking about leaving the country. Why would they want to leave America?
Well, the issue is complicated, and it does fall along, you know, personal political fault lines.
Yeah.
But the biggest issue, you know, for many of these people, Meredith, is that this is an immoral war, and that this president has lied to us to get us into it, and now we are trapped in an occupation that leaves us a no-win situation. We're essentially targets in the middle of a civil war. And there are people who don't want to encourage that behavior by serving themselves up as a loyal foot soldier who will do as ordered. And so I understand the conflicts that people feel. And I wrestled this with this myself 30-some years ago.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that as well. I don't agree with the war. I don't agree with Bush. But, you know, if push came to shove and the draft was set up, as an American, I would just feel obligated to do it, even though it was something that I didn't agree with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I'm really glad you called, and I respect your position.
Well, thank you, Peter. You have a good night.
Okay, Meredith, thank you for calling. Now to Sue in Scottsdale. Hi, Sue. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter B. Nice to have you in the Phoenix area.
It's a thrill for me.
I just wanted to comment on the draft as well. I was brought up in the 70s. I have four brothers. Three of them were caught up in the lottery. Luckily, all of them had high numbers, so they didn't have to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a son that's just turned 15, freshman in high school. And for over a year, I've been trying to talk to him about what's going on. And he can't understand why I'm so caught up in it. And I explained to him, I said, you know, this is your life. I'm going to be long gone when this really comes to fruition,
mm-hmm.
what's happening right now. And we have a couple of local Vietnam vets, Vets for Peace, that have a video show here. And on Labor Day, I took them down to a, they were collecting beds for Iraqi kids and mothers. And he talked, or he listened, actually, to these two gentlemen as they talked about the Vietnam War and the Iraqi War and recruiting. And he walked out of there, and he sat in the back of the car, and he says, boy, he says, that was pretty enlightening.
Hmm.
And if children this age and like the young man that called from California, I don't believe that it's a political stance that he's trying to make, saying that he's going to go to Canada. These kids need to know what's going on and that they can be drafted. And they will be over there fighting a war that's unjust. And they're not protecting the United States. And they need to know what's going on. And I'm glad that my son's finally waking up.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's really interesting to me because most of the people who call this program are over 30. And today we've heard from four or five people who acknowledge that they're under 30. And I'm delighted to hear from them. I'm delighted to know that they're involved and concerned. But it does underscore my point that too many of us have no stake in this situation. And it permits us to care more about Dancing with the Stars or the OSU-Michigan game over the weekend than about the future of our country and the misguided war in Iraq. And so I don't want to see the draft come back on balance, but I understand the argument that Rangel is making, and the calls to the program today, again, underline the point that when your self-interest is threatened, you're much more likely to get involved. And I hope we can move forward and get more young people involved in politics, get them to speak up about the misdeeds of this administration and this wrongful war without a draft. But unfortunately, okay. Human nature kicks in there. I got to run to a break here. Thanks for your call today. Right. We'll take more calls in just a moment. Their line's open for you at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, or email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right, dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
And once again, good afternoon. Frank Sullivan with traffic on KRXA 540. It's brought to you by NBC 11 News at 11. NBC 11 reveals where and how safer school routes are saving kids. Street Smarts, a special report tonight at 11 on NBC 11 News.
on the roadways, all of a sudden, a couple of things popping up on the Monterey Peninsula and in Gilroy. We're going to start there. Buena Vista Avenue at Noname Uno. An accident to two vehicles involved, blocking lanes. The CHP is on scene. Just south of Gilroy, this is Highway 25, right at the 101 split. An accident on the shoulder, northbound Highway 1 at Fremont Boulevard. An object on the roadway, apparently an injured dog in the two left lanes. And animal control officials are reportedly out there. Actually, we should say it's a dog carrier, not an injured dog, so that's a relief. I'm Frank Sullivan with traffic on KRXA.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. Couple of quick programming notes. We're live today, live Tuesday, live Wednesday, and then I get a couple of days off. You'll hear the best of Peter B. Collins. That's our euphemism for reruns. On Thursday and Friday this week. And on Thanksgiving Day, a couple of special features. We'll replay the hour we spent last week with Roy Zimmerman, the great satirical political songwriter. And we're also going to present what has become a tradition, a Thanksgiving tradition on the Peter B. Collins Show. And we blame it all on Tom Seaborn, our program director at the mighty KGOE in Eureka, California, because he supplied me with the unedited recording of Arlo Guthrie's Alice's Restaurant. Perfect anti-war Thanksgiving tune. And we will play it all the way through for you in our third and final hour of the Peter B. Collins Show coming up on Thanksgiving Day. So I hope you will tune in for that. All right, back to your calls. Al in Scottsdale, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you so very much, and konnichiwa to Ward. I used to live in Japan as well.
Oh, good.
Yeah, Peter B., I have to disagree with you for the first time.
Go right ahead.
Respectfully, so.
Sure.
I am a Vietnam veteran, first of all, first and foremost, but 11 years in the military. I called you before. My daughter is an Army officer.
Mm-hmm.
She and her husband came out of OCS. She went to Afghanistan. He went to Iraq. He was supposed to come back on the 4th of August,
yeah.
But Rumsfeld extended his time by 4 months because there is a shortage of soldiers.
Stop loss.
Right. Now, here's my point. I've been waiting for this discussion for over 30 years. I came back from Vietnam in 71, and I remember it perfectly. I was at the mail office getting my mail when I heard that they'd done away with the draft. Now, I'm a rational person. First thing came in my mind was, does that mean we won't have any more wars anymore?
Hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And I said, well, this doesn't sound right. What are you talking about, an all-volunteer military? Now, that appeared to have worked for many years, but I knew that the stuff would hit the fan at some time. It's not right to have a small amount of people and to recycle them in the war. I have read in the paper that there have been troops who've gone between Afghanistan and Iraq 7 times,
yeah.
7 tours. You understand that these people are being worn down.
Well, and some of these are reservists and National Guard members who never expected to be subjected to this kind of extended service.
Peter B., let me tell you about National Guard and reservists before this time. These people never had the mindset of a person to go into combat. These people knew that traditionally their jobs would be in the United States. So you put people who are not properly prepared to go into combat situations, and then you rotate them from war to war. Now, this is not right. Here is my idea. I believe that Rangel is correct. And the reason I say that is we all should have a vested interest in protecting this country, not just a few people. Now, if you take our situation and you apply it to World War Number Two, had there not been a draft, where would we be right now? If there was no draft, then we'd be talking German. I'm African-American. I'd probably be dead. The fact is, the war, if we find it necessary to go to war, it should go clean across all of society. Everybody should be touched by it, not just a few people.
Al, you make a compelling case. Thanks for calling today.
Thank you, sir.
I really appreciate it. Now to Steve in Soledad, California. You're on the air, Steve.
Good afternoon, sir. On the draft, I'm kind of not really hot for that, but some sort of special service, community service, I'm definitely for. I was living in Latin America for 6 years, and every high school student down there has to do a year of community service before they graduate.
All right. How about a volunteer army coupled with...
It makes them totally less selfish.
Okay. What if we have a volunteer army coupled with mandatory service, and you can discharge your service by going into the army if you want to?
Yeah, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem with that.
Okay.
But just... janking people into the army. I have some problems with that.
All right. Steve, I wish I had more time, but I got a full switchboard here. You mind if I jump?
Well, I just wondered if you ever heard this song, Which Way Are You Going by Jim Croce?
Jim Croce,
yes. I sang it to you a long time ago. Which Way Are You Going? It has one hand on the Bible, one hand on the gun. You say, I love the baby, but you crucify the man. It was written for George Bush.
Huh. I don't know it.
Okay, I sent it to you before. I'll send it to you again.
Please do, because I, for whatever reason, I didn't receive it. Now to John in Phoenix. Thanks for calling, John. You're on the air.
Hi, Peter. Great show. I share some of your opinions and beliefs on the draft, but I got to thinking about something while listening to your show tonight, and that maybe the Democrat that mentioned about reintroducing the draft, maybe he's doing the country a favor, because these young kids between 18, 19, 20, 22, they're not paying that much attention to the news. They're not paying that much attention to the war in Iraq. They're listening to their music. They're going out and partying and have a good time. But I bet you two bits they're listening now.
Well, we heard from some of them today.
I tell you, I think he woke up America by saying bring back the draft.
Well, it does get people's attention, and I understand that. And again, I'm torn between, you know, my own sympathies for people who don't want to be involuntarily drafted into military service and the fact that you described, that too many people of military age have not been asked for any sacrifice whatsoever. And in many cases, they're oblivious to the situation that our nation is in today. Thanks for that call. I'll squeeze in one more. James in Phoenix. Hi. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
I think it's a real, real bad idea for a Democrat to bring in the idea of a draft, because that would just give Bush a whole lot more power.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd that he's with are just a bunch of criminals. And before they start collecting people up and forcing them to do criminal acts for them, but the first draft, I would violently resist in this country. I would become an American guerrilla, and I would not stop at anything to rid this country of that scum.
All right. That's a very strong statement. Thank you, James. Andrew, in upstate New York, you get the final word today.
How you doing, Peter B?
Pretty good, thank you.
That's good. That's good. I am very excited to hear this dialogue going on in America about, you know, Rangel's proposed legislation, because this, you know, brings the Iraq war home, which has been sorely missing, and it's just great that, you know, I love your show, I love what you do, and I think it's great that America is finally talking about Iraq.
Thank you, sir.
All righty, thank you.
I got to hop on this horse and ride off into the sunset. We'll do this again tomorrow.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
I don't think any two people could be murdered without everybody being covered in blood.
Blasted from all quarters, the very embarrassed executives responsible for O.J. Simpson's If I Did It have abruptly canceled the project. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive.
Fox has changed its mind and won't put on the air the two-part TV interview with O.J. Simpson, and a publishing company owned by News Corporation, same company that runs Fox, has decided not to publish Simpson's book. That's a little odd, because bookstores expect to start selling the book next week.
Some copies have already been shipped. The publisher says they'll be recalled. And and all copies will be destroyed. But the sister of murder victim Ron Goldman says a version of the book has already been leaked out, and she claims Simpson has already gotten a check for $3.5 million. He played Kramer for 9 seasons on Seinfeld, but Michael Richards was really weird Friday night when he got into it with a heckler at a West Hollywood comedy club.
Oh, roll call for it. Wait a minute, he's not going here, dude. You're not following your reset. Never had no show, never had no movie. Seinfeld got hit.
Hold on there. You're absolutely right. I'm just a wash-up.
Then Richards started hurling racist insults at the man, who's black. He used the N-word repeatedly. Tonight, taping an appearance on The Late Show with David Letterman, Richards offered no excuse for going into a rage.
For me to be in a comedy club and flip out and say this crap, you know, I'm deeply, deeply sorry. I'm not a racist. That's what's so insane about this.
Jerry Seinfeld encouraged Richards to appear, saying he knows how shattered he is about what happened. 3 teenage girls were killed, at least 30 people injured, when a school bus plunged off a highway overpass in Huntsville, Alabama. CBS News correspondent Mark Strassman has details.
The bus of high schoolers was on a morning outing to a technical center. Students on board said seconds before the crash, a compact car had cut off the bus. The bus driver swerved trying to avoid it, but the bus slammed into the guardrail, sat suspended for a few seconds, and nosedived off the elevated freeway.
It fell 30 feet.
Bam, 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 but it sounded like when it first hit it, it sounded like a bomb went off.
Molly Hawkins works nearby. The bus had no seatbelts. First responders say they found the victims thrown all over the bus. Some of the injured are in critical condition. George Weller was 86